जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हर शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिल्य प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरी टू शील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मां उद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्तिपादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःख शमन तं नमामि हरिं वरम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्नयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराल् त्वेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरय तेजोवारिप्रदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् वरम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित गैतवोत्रवरमो निर्मल्सराणं सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः दर्शनान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिया भुवि भावुकाहम् सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेदमपेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं विनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि काभिगापि नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नम वंदे नंदव्रज स्त्रीनां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविंद परमाणवे नम पीतांबरं गरविराजित चक्रशंगं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणा समुद्रं राधा सहायमति सुंदर मंदहासं वातालेश मनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनं गोविंद गोविंद ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ മമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുതീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും വിഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജേദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോത്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി ക്രമേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാർണകോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥകന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹര പേബീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽക്കൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുതസ്വന്യന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ വശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നു വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, after studying Kabilam, Kabila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti Devi, the certain things, ordinary people, what they can understand from that. Kabilam is one of the important topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first Tattvajnanam in the Bhagavatam is Kabilam. So, how to understand Kabilam from what we have discussed in so many chapters now, from 25 onwards right up to here, 32. For an ordinary person, what will he understand from that? That is the important thing. One thing to know that is that all of us are born with big differences in our karma, in our vasana, in our abilities and in our circumstances. Everything is so different individually. Each one of us is so different from other. So, Kabilam is saying to us that instead of wasting your time in life thinking about, oh, I don't have this thing, I don't have that, I lack this, I lack that, or shortcomings in life, and feeling disturbed over that, and then thinking about life itself, I need certain things to be like this, in this way. This is what I think is the right thing. And certain things, I don't want it to be like this. So, in this way, all the time analyzing life around us, and getting disturbed over that, to get out of that, these habits. First thing, to know that we are all come here with a different baggage, each one of us. And we all carry different vasanas, different abilities, different samskarams in us. Naturally, when the starting point is not the same for everybody. Everybody starts from different places, starting point. So after coming here to think about this, oh, this didn't happen to me, that didn't happen to me, to analyze life like that and feeling disturbed over that, one. Secondly, that not to be particular about anything, that it should happen like this, because these things are not in our control. That is what Krishna is saying to us. You will see there, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this, I think it's in the 5th chapter, that na kartrutvam na cha karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. That in one verse, Krishna has spoken everything to understand. Na kartrutvam na cha karmani lokasya srijati prabhu. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, it is like this. Actually, the soul has no involvement in anything. Soul has no involvement in anything. Na kartrutvam. It doesn't have any identity that I am the doer. Naja karmani. He is not even doing the karmam, he is not him. Na karma phalasam yogam. And also connecting between the karmam and its results is also not his nature. Atma doesn't have that nature of expecting results from the karmam. It is a jiva who is creating these problems. So till we come out of this jiva bhavam and start thinking in the atma bhavam, we will have this problem. That is what Kabiram is teaching us. That not to get stuck in all these little pits in life created by the jiva. Ultimately, that why kalam was discussed? Kalam was discussed to tell us that kalam will bring everything upside down. It will keep changing continuously, this world. And whenever these changes are happening, we shouldn't get affected. Through knowledge, you have to survive through that changes. This is what is expected of us. This is Kabilam is telling us. First thing, when you come, you have to recognize that we all come with a different baggage with us. And therefore, there will be differences in everything between individuals. Secondly, that to feel that things should happen in the way I want it to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I get disturbed over that. Somehow or the other, this conviction inside us, my way of thinking is the correct answer to the problems. Somehow or the other, it has happened like that. And I becoming very strong about it, stubborn about these things. If it doesn't happen, one should be able to accept it also. As Krishna says there, na karma bhalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartade. Then karmam and its bhalam is not in your hands. Svabhavastu pravartade. Pravarti, svabhava means here modes of nature. It is deciding what bhalam should come from that. And finally he said that then when changes are happening in this world, it will affect everybody in one way or the other. And constantly time is showing its power in all through our life, how things have changed, finding it difficult from one generation to another generation, how the next generation will act, that's not in your control. That's in their country. They are going to do according to their nature. So there also not to get disturbed over all these things. In all these situations, to remain aloof from the impact of all that. And finally, the last one, when you leave this body, that without able to leave the body without fear about the next life. About the next life. And also to realize that between all what is happening here, behind all these calculations, there is that power operating. And that power which controls all these things is called Ishvara. Ishvara means controller. This controlling bhavam of Krishna is called Ishvara. So Ishvara means, behind all these things what's going on here, there is a power operating. That power is called Ishvara bhavam. That Ishvara bhavam and able to offer everything to that Ishvara. Ishvara is making the decision, so the results also should go to Ishvara. And in this way, to understand a life. At least, first thing is to understand what life is all about. Life is not all getting all the degrees from the universities, or making millions of dollars, or getting married and having a great family life. None of them has anything to do with the life. They are all superficial things. But to understand what human life is all about, that desire inside, that's called Twara. Twara means the urge inside. And able to develop that Twara inside. Even that, people find it very difficult. Because they have been sent to this... they have been sent to a system where they don't know anything else except to get degrees and to get money, make money. If you grow up like that, you won't know what life is about. You will get to know so many things, what you really don't need to know, but you won't know what you should know, which is life, what is life is about. So, that is where this problem comes. That's what Kabilam is saying here. So first thing to understand life properly, what life is about, and then to take the life further in the way Kabbalah Maharshi has spoken here. That means how to interact with the world, rest of the world, and similarly deity worship, studying Shastram. In this way, keep contact with Krishna and continue with life further. Right? So, what Kabbalah Maharshi is saying there is that if this sankalpam is strong inside, if all this what has been spoken, if it is strong inside, very quickly, very soon, it will take us to a state of balanced mind, in a shanti state. You will stay in a state of shanti, if this is followed, right? For example, after hearing about Krishna and what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, and also the special nature of life of living entities here, and in that way, Kabbalah Maharshi is saying, practice the life to go further, and that is what in this chapter 32, what Kabbalah Maharshi has spoken. It is after this he is saying to us, after this is all general things, what was spoken. Then he says, Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, Dhyana Margam, Yoga Margam, all these things are there for this purpose. To achieve these things in life. So, he says here, whatever process it may be, bhakti or jnanam or yogam, ultimately, where do we want to be at the end? The goal, where we want to be, is that here, Kabbalah Maharshi is saying here, you have to reach this stage, what is called samabhavana, that samadrik, what Krishna says to Uddhava, samadrik vijarasogam, that is the goal. Samadrik, able to see in everything. What is that samadrik that he explains there? Right? So that means, samadrik means that whatever happens in life, no matter what happens here, you may hear something or you have seen something, and the circumstances around us may change completely. Right? And all different kinds of experiences may come to us in life. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Certain experiences may not be very pleasant. But even in that situation, right, not to lose your stability. That's more important. That situations can always change. It's not in your control, anything. And the time will keep changing everything. Nothing is stable here, right? Similarly, what we hear, what we see, and whatever that changes around us, in all those situations and our experiences can change, not to lose your own balance inside, right? And that shanti state, that is what he is saying it as here, he calls it as that samadrik. Samadrik means that you have reached that state where you don't lose your balance in all these situations. One should get to that at the end of all this bhakti margam, jnana margam and everything. That is his, Kabbalah Maharshi's opinion about this. Right? So, that means the world is not affecting you anymore. What's happening around you? When it affects, then you lose your shanti inside. Right? At that point, what happens is that the same Chaitanyam or living force, what we call as Atma, is present in different forms here, different living entities, and different dresses, different bhavam in each. All these things are nothing but a manifestation of that same living force, Chaitanyam. And it is that living force is present in front of us in the form of creation. To understand that, right? And when you start recognizing this, that it is one living force present in front of us in different dresses and different forms and names, that is present. Once you come to that stage, then when you see through the eyes a particular form, when you hear through your ears a particular sound, and similarly, all other varieties in this world would not matter anymore. Harinama Girtanam, there is a book, Ramanujacharya's book, and he is saying here that the eye for the eye, and for the eye for that eye, that means you see through the eye an object, through the eye. But eye cannot see anything on its own without the help of the mind. So this mind is the eye for this eye. But mind is also cannot see anything unless the soul can. Soul is behind it. So there is an object, there is this eye, then the mind is an eye, and then the soul behind that. So he's saying here that everything is working, operating here because of that Chaitanyam behind it. And that recognition is what is required at the end. And that is what he spoke about in the Sankhya Yogam in the beginning, right? So Purusha and Prakriti, they come together and work like this, the way it is presented before us, right? So same Chaitanyam is present in everywhere, and that Chaitanyam which is present in all, everyone, in some form or the other, and if your attention start becoming serious about that, and if you come fixed in that position, then it will not matter what you are hearing, what you have seen, or anything else what is happening in this will not disturb you anymore. So that's what he's saying. And able to complete life in a without any upheavals in life, right? So many shastrams, many people will talk in different ways about Ishvara. About Ishvara, right? So that is what is spoken, that you are seeing some object with your eye, and something you are hearing with your ears, and tasting with your tongue, and any object in this world, you may think that when you see something with your eyes, you think that the object is that, what you see, right? And a mango, for example, if you see a mango, when your perception of mango through the eye is in one way, perception of that mango through the tongue is in a different way, is it not? So basically, which is the right one? They are all giving you a different sides of the same object. Eye gives you an impression, mango is like this, yellowish color, fully ripe, and by looking at the mango, you have certain perceptions about that mango, how it should taste. Or some impression inside, whether it has got fibers inside or it is the skin is too thick or the mango is going to be sweet. All these thoughts will develop inside. When you are tasting the mango, you are experiencing the mango in a different way. Is it not? So how do we... This is what Shastram is saying, that in whichever sense you are looking at different things, right? It gives you a different perception of that same object. Mango gives you one impression in one way through one sense. And the same mango gives you another impression through another sense. This is how you have to see everything in life. Then you see a person in the particular name and form, it gives you one impression. But the behavior of the person gives you another impression in another way, right? So all these are spoken in different ways, but ultimately everything what we do here is through the five senses. Senses and sense perception, right? So in Bhakti Margam, what we call it as Bhagavan. And similarly, Jnana Margam, what we call it as Brahman. And Yoga Margam, we call it as Paramatma. All these things is all referring to only one thing. Like the mango, in one sense you are seeing one way, in another sense you are experiencing in different way. Similarly, the truth also, in Bhakti Margam you experience in one way, Jnana Margam you experience in another way, Yoga Margam, you experience in a different way. This is the way to explain that. Because people are always looking which is higher and lower and all. There is no higher, lower in all these things. Higher, lower is in our mind. Truth is one. There is no many truth. There is only one truth. But if you go through the Bhakti Margam, you can say that like you experience a mango through the eye in one way. Suppose you heard about this mango from somebody else. And that experience you have about mango, by hearing about it from somewhere else. So that's another way. Tasting the mango is another way. Smelling the mango is another way. So they are all the same mango. You are perceiving through different senses in the same way. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. What you perceive as Brahmam, what you perceive as Bhagavan, what you perceive as Paramatma is one and the same. They are three different ways, like through the senses you perceive differently in the same way. That is the first thing too. That's what Kamala Maharshi is saying here. Right? So, but our relationship with that truth, we have to serve him. That's the only thing common to all. That we have no choice there. Here he is saying here that Ishvara Bhajanam, that means service to Krishna, whatever it may be, which process it is, doesn't matter. That everything, he brings it together. Kapila Maharshi brings it together and says, it doesn't matter which process you are following, whether it is Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, whatever it may be, ultimately you want to be with Krishna. You want to be with him. You don't want to be separated from him, because that ultimate goal of all these things is to be connected to Krishna, not separated from him. So it is that time you recognize that behind this life, what we have. If you keep thinking about this, it makes a lot of sense, all these things, what Kapila Maharshi is saying there. Only thing is, our mind is not tuned in that way. We are tuned in a modern way, which is the difficulty. Otherwise, if you listen to what Kapila Maharshi is saying here, he says, you got all this problem because you got so absorbed through your senses and the world. But instead of going back and seeing that one behind everything, he says here, that whichever path you are following, at the end, ultimately you have to come to this one tattvam. And he says there, today or tomorrow, eventually you will get to that stage. Right? And he also mentioned there, if you don't take this seriously, it's not a threat. It's not a threat. If you don't take this seriously, and if you don't keep connected with Krishna, that he has only one choice, he said. Keep rotating through this cycle of birth and death. There is no other option left for him, he says. And they will never get a proper direction in life. Gari. So the important thing is, whether through Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, whatever it is, through all that, to be conscious of Krishna behind everything, and our Shraddha is always there. Everybody says exactly the same thing. There's no difference at all. Whether it's Sri Shukha Brahmarshi or Jatabharata or Dattatreya or Prahlada or Dhruva, they all have only one thing to say to us. That somehow or the other, that Shraddha should be in Krishna, and then how to get to that stage. All these things are spoken to inspire us in our own life, right? But first thing is to know, this is the important thing in life. We have to know ourselves, there's a lot of things in this world what we don't know. That we come here and we think we know a lot of things, isn't it? But the fact is that there are so much here what we do not know about life, right? And because of that, behind all those things, what we don't know, there is Ishvara, Krishna, behind that, right? So, because we don't know these things, the right thing to do is to hold on to that person who knows about it and continue with the life. That's all you can do here in this situation. when we ourselves do not know. You know that we don't know about many things. It's not very difficult to understand. We don't know why we have come here. What brought us here in this particular form, in this dress. And all experiences in life also, you don't know why it has happened, in the way it has happened. And one day we have to quit this world, there also we have no control. And where we will go after that, also we don't know. So nothing we know here. What do we know about all these things? And still we think we would like to have a control over the situation. That is where problems come. So that is why Kapila Maharshi is saying here, that because first thing you recognize that there is a lot of things which you don't know about life. First thing. And then secondly, that there is a power which is operating here, controlling everybody, which is addressed as Krishna, Bhagavan, Ishvara in different ways, in different roles, able to hold on to him and to carry on with life. That will be the secure position for a jiva. Position for a jiva. Then he said that Adhyatma Yogam, what he started with, Kapila Maharshi, the speciality of this Adhyatma Yogam, which he broke up later into Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Yoga Margam, like that. And then the special nature of Kalam, time. And if you don't take notice of Kalam, and if you live in this world, the problems that will create. If you don't take notice of Kalam, right? And then Jiva's different ways of destination, how Jiva passes through this world, all these things he spoke. Then finally he said that these things should be spoken to people, should not be spoken to people who have no humility in life. Yeah? And who doesn't have the Shraddha in that. And who doesn't have any interest in spiritual side of life. Because they are people who completely live under the control of their mind. That is the problem. Who are completely living under the control of their mind. To them, this should not be spoken, says Kapila Maharshi. Those who have no humility, those who do not have the Shraddha, and those who don't have any interest in spiritual life, doesn't believe in any of these things. The way they are like that is due to their mind is controlling them. They are completely driven by the mind. And that's where this problem comes. To such people, this shouldn't be spoken. Krishna also says in Ekadasha Skandam at the end, in Bhagavad Gita also, this should not be spoken. We just read that verses, not realizing the impact of that, what Krishna is saying. After speaking to Uddhava, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says exactly the same thing. What Kapila Maharshi? So, Tattvajnanam is for whom? Tattvajnanam is for people who have that humility to accept these things, who have that Shraddha in these things, and who likes a direction in life, a spiritual direction in life. To them, if you speak these things, it will help them. But if you speak to people who are completely driven by the mind, whatever the mind dictates, they do it. There are people like that. Many. Majority are like that. Is it? Mind says something, they go do it. That's all. That's all what they know. They don't know anything else apart from the mind. Mind is the boss there. To such people, they shouldn't be spoken, says Kapila Maharshi. Because for them, no matter how much they hear, they won't be able to take it on board. That's the problem. As long as you are under the control of the mind, you won't be able to carry out these things in life. That means when there is a crisis in life, able to apply this knowledge of Kapila Maharshi's teachings and able to come out of that crisis, that will not be possible for them. They won't be able to do that. That's what he's saying. You see? It is right, isn't it? That when you have proper understanding, you heard certain things, but it is not coming into, when you have a crisis in life, you are not able to apply that. Why? The reason is this, that you are still under the control of the mind. Mind is dictating so many things from inside and you are listening to the mind all the time. So those who have become free from the influence of the mind and those who have that Shraddha, those who have that humility and those who have that interest in the spiritual side of life, for them this will benefit. That's what he's saying. So the reason is those who are under the control of the mind, if they listen to this Kapila Maharshi's teachings, the problem is sometimes they will misunderstand everything. That's also another problem. They will misunderstand things. So therefore that will create more problems without properly understanding things, right? Whereas one who takes to this Kapila Maharshi's teachings with Shraddha and proper faith and also wants to handle this life in front of us in a way that you can manage it without getting trouble, right? With an open mind, if you approach this to such people, if you teach Kapilam, it will work. It will help them. So you can see that everything in Shastra means Adhigaritam. Adhigaram means that one should have the qualifications for that. It's not open to all. It doesn't work. Open to all. It's not open to all. It's open to people who have this nature, right? So that we see who has got the capacity to analyze life properly. Problems are coming in life. Why all these problems are coming? How to deal with these problems? All these things. Otherwise, this will become a problem, he says. So, Kapila Maharshi's point is, only people with such an open mind, this open mind is very important. Only if they hear this, they will be able to take it inside. Do you understand that point, isn't it? This open-mindedness is so important. If you are already biased and prejudiced in your mind, and if you start thinking in a certain way, already you have concluded certain things. And then what you are doing is, what Kapila Maharshi is saying is matching with your perceptions. That won't work. Kapila Maharshi's teachings are totally independent of all the other things. Our conditioned mind will not give you the proper direction. It doesn't have any idea. You can see that normally in people's life, big leaders, they're all confused. They just don't know what life is all about. And just because you went to Eton and Harrow doesn't mean that you know about life. That's not guaranteed. They have taught you certain other things, what has nothing to do with the proper life is concerned. Rishi's way of saying are like this. Understand what life is all about first. That's more important than anything else. After that, if you have understood life properly, then you will know that behind this life there is some calculations. You will come to that conclusions. Without that, it cannot happen this way, the way it is happening. If you are not coming to that conclusion, that means you have not even understood life properly. So after recognizing that, there is a power operating behind it, whom we address as Krishna's, that role as Ishvara, which is doing that, and holding on to him tight and carry on with this life, recognizing fully that all changes that's happening around us should not affect us. That is why Krishna keeps saying this again and again, that this should be spoken to people. You'll see in the Agastya Skandam also says, and the Bhagavad Gita also says the same thing. It should be spoken to people who have an open mind. Open mind means not biased. If you already have some preconceived ideas in your mind that things should be like this in my life, then it is difficult to take this on board. This is the problem. We all have preconceived notions in our mind, isn't it? Preconceptions inside us. Life should be like this. People get all these ideas and they think if it doesn't happen like this, the life is not right. You get the feeling like that. That shouldn't happen. That's what he's saying here. So, and that was the last words he has spoken there. And then he said, whoever hears this Kabilam properly, right, he will be benefited from this and he can even realize the truth and go back to Krishna. That means he will not get upset about life. Things happen here. The fear will go and he will experience the bliss from that. And he will not feel life as a burden anymore, and he'll be able to carry on with life without disturbed over that, right? So with that, Kapilopadesha more or less finishes there. Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti finishes there. So we have discussed Kapilam before, chapter by chapter earlier, some time back. Here it is only a mananam of individual chapters, right? But one thing you will notice that how nicely Kapilam tells us about our mind, nature of our mind, and about life in this world, and the problem, what will come if the mind is not able to adjust with the situations. When the mind is not able to adjust with the laws of nature. Laws of nature means to understand kalam. Kalam changes everything. But mind is not able to adjust with that. And the problems that come from that. Right? All these things Kapila Maharshi has spoken. Then if you take this on board, life will become a lot peaceful without getting too disturbed over that. So, and that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapilopadesham has been given a very important position in the Bhagavatam, right? And this is the reason for that. Because it is concerned about your life here now. It's not about the life after death in some other planet. Right now, here, how we should deal with life. That is why this Kapilam became so popular. Because everybody wants that, isn't it? How to deal with the current crisis in life. Yeah. So, only thing is, lot of Shraddha is required to understand. You have to keep reading this again and again and again. Because lot of things you are hearing and you lose it straight away. Like the changes that happens to us when we come to this world first time in the womb of the mother. What all happened there in the womb. The 10 months we spend there. If all these things, if we remember in life, you won't have any desire to enjoy life anymore. Isn't it? Because that itself is a good education. What happened inside? What all happened inside the womb? And then when we come out, Vipirida Anugadim Gada, coming upside down to the world. And from that day onwards, everything is upside down. That's what Kapila Maharshi says there. When you came out from the womb, you came out upside down. He said, Vipirida Anugadim Gada. That everything, the entry itself is upside down. And from that day onwards, everything is upside down. Whole life, practically. Right. So, happiness and distress is coming and going in life. Right. And these things should not create any impact inside us. Right. And by making certain changes inside us, we will be able to deal with the world properly. By making certain changes inside us and changing our Shraddha in certain places. At the moment, Shraddha is in the wrong places, but that should be moved into a right place. And in that way, the life will not be a burden anymore, he says here. Shanti or Samadhanam, and that is what is spoken in different ways, right? So, in the next chapter, Devahuti Devi offer obeisances to Kapila Maharshi, right? And Kapila Maharshi says certain things to Devahuti Devi and all what all happened after that. This is all in the next chapter. In the next chapter. So, Kapilam, important topic in the Bhagavatam, worthwhile discussing and thinking about it, analyzing it, it's so precious in the Bhagavatam. So we'll go into the next chapter. 33. Maitreya Vacha Evam Nishamma Kapilasya Vacho Janitri Sakardamasya Deida Akila Devahuti Visrasta Moha Badalatam Abhi Pranamyam Tushtavatattva Shayangida Siddhi Bhumim Devahuti Rivacha Adhapya Jodta Salle Shayanam Bhutindriyarthalpumayam Vapuste Gunapravaham Sadashesha Bijam Dadhyosvayam Yajarabjajada Sa Eva Vishwasya Bhagavan Vidhate Gunapravahena Bhibhakta Virya സർഗാദ്യനീഹോഭിതഥാഭിസന്ധി ആത്മേശ്വരോദർക്ക സഹസ്രശക്തി സത്വം ഭൃതോ മേ ജഡരേണ നാഥ കഥം നു യസ്യോദരമേതദാസീൽ വിശ്വം യുഗാന്തേ വടപത്രമേക ശേതേ സ്വമായ ശിശുരം കൃപാന ത്വം ദേഹതന്ത്ര പ്രശമായ പാപ്മനാം നിദേശഭാജാഞ്ച വിഭോ വിഭൂതയേ യഥാവതാരാസ്തവ സൂകരാദയസ്തഥായമപ്യാത്മപദോപലബ്ധയേ യന്നാമധേയ ശ്രവണാനുകീർത്തനാൽ ഉദിൽ പ്രഹണാദ്യൽ സ്മരണാദപി ക്വചിൽ ശ്വാദോപി സദ്യസവനായ കൽപ്പതേ കുത പുനസ്തേ ഭഗവന് ദർശനാൽ അഹോപദ ശുഭചോദോ ഗരീയാൻ യജിഹ്വാഗ്രേ വർത്തതേ നാമതുഭ്യം തേ പുസ്തഭസ്തേ ജുഹുവു സസ്നുരാര്യ ബ്രഹ്മാനുജോ നാമ ഗൃണന്തിയേതേ തം ത്വാമഹം ബ്രഹ്മപരം പുവാംസം പ്രത്യക്സ്രോതസ്യാത്മനി സംവിഭാവ്യം സ്വതേജസാധ്വസ്ത ഗുണപ്രവാഹം വന്ദേ വിഷ്ണും കപിലം വേദഗർഭം മൈത്രേയോവാചാം ഈടിതോ ഭഗവാനേവം കപിലാഖ്യ പരപ്പുമാൻ വാചാ വിക്ലവയേത്യാഹ മാതരം മാതൃവത്സല കപില ഉവാച മാർഗേണാനേന മാതസ്തേ സുസേവ്യേനോദിതേന മേ ആസ്തിതേന പരാം കാഷ്ഠ അജിരാദവരോത്സ്യസി ശ്രദ്ധൽ സ്വൈതന്മതം മഹ്യം ജുഷ്ടം യദ് ബ്രഹ്മവാദിഭി യേന മാമഭവം മായ മൃത്യുമൃച്ഛന്തി തദ്വിധ മൈത്രേയ ഉവാച ഇതി പ്രദർശ്യ ഭഗവാൻ സതീം താമാത്മനോ ഗതിം സ്വമാത്രാ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിന്യോ കപിലോനുമതോ യയോ സാചാപിതനയോക്തേന യോഗാദേശേന യോഗയുക് തസ്മിന്നാശ്രമമാപീഡേ സരസ്വത്യാ സമാഹിത അഭീഷ്ണാവഗാർഹ കപിഷാൻ ജഡിലാൻ ഗുടിലാളകാൻ ആത്മാനം ജോഗ്രതമസ ബിഭ്രതി ചീരിണം കൃഷം പ്രജാപതേ കർദമസ്യ തപോയോഗ വിജൃംഭിതം സ്വർഗാർഹസ്യ മനോപമ്യം പ്രാർത്ഥ്യം വൈമാനികൈരവി ഭയഭേന നിഭാശയ്യ ദാന്താരക്മപരിച്ഛദ ആസനാനിജ ഹൈമാനി സുസ്പർശാസ്കരണാനിജ സ്വച്ഛസ്ഫടികുണ്ഡേഷു മഹാമാരകദേഷു ജ രത്നപ്രദീപാഭാന്തി ലലനാരത്നസംയുത ഗൃഹോദ്യാനം കുസുമിതൈരമ്യം ബഹു അമരദ്രുമൈ ഊജദ്വിഹംഗമിദിനം ഗായന്മധുമധുവ്രതം യത്ര പ്രവിഷ്ടമാത്മാനം വിഭുധാനുജരാജഗു വാപ്യാമുൽപലഗന്ധിന്യാ കർദ്ദമേനോപലാളിതം ഹിത്വാദീപ്സിതം അപ്യാഖണ്ഡലയോഷിതാം കിഞ്ചിച്ചകാരവദനം പുത്രവിശ്ലേഷണാധുരാം വനം പ്രംവ്രജിതേപത്യാവപത്യവിരഹാതിരാജ്ഞാത്വാപ്യഭോന്നോഷ്ടേവത്സേ ഗൗരവവത്സല തമേവ ധ്യായതി ദേവപത്യം കപിലം ഹരിം ബഭൂവാചരതോ വത്സ നിസ്പൃഹാതാദൃശേ ഗൃഹേ ധ്യായതി ഭഗവദ്രൂപം യഥാഹ്യനഗോചരം സുതപ്രസന്നവദനം സമസ്തവ്യസ്തചിന്തയ ഭക്തിപ്രവാഹയോഗേന വൈരാഗ്യേന ബലീയസ യുക്താനുഷ്ഠാന ജാതേന ജ്ഞാനേന ബ്രഹ്മഹേതുനാ വിശുദ്ധേന ആത്മാനമാത്മനാ വിശദോ മുഖം സ്വാനുഭൂത്യാതിരോഭൂതമായ ഗുണവിശേഷണം ബ്രഹ്മണ്യവസ്ഥിതമതിർ ഭഗവത്യാത്മസംശ്രയേ നിവൃത്ത ജീവാപത്തിത്വാൻ ക്ഷീണക്ലേശാപ്തനുപ്രതി നിത്യാരൂഢ സമാധിത്വാൻ പരാമൃത ഗുണഭ്രമാ നസംസ്മാരദ്വന്ദാത്മാനം സ്വപ്നേ ദൃഷ്ടമിവോത്ഥിത തദ്ദേഹ പരതപോഷോ അപ്യകൃഷകൃശാദ്യ സംഭവാൻ ബഭൗ മലൈരവച്ഛന് സധൂമയുതമാവക സ്വാംഗം തോ യോഗമയം മുക്തകേശം കഥാംബരം ദൈവഗുപ്തം പ്രഭു ദേവാസുദേവ പ്രവിഷ്ടതി ഏവം സാ കപിലോക്തേന വർഗേണ ചരതപരം ആത്മാനം ബ്രഹ്മനിർവാണം ഭഗവന്തമവാപഹ തദ്വിരാസീൽ പുണ്യതമം ക്ഷേത്രം ത്രൈലോക്യവിശ്രുതം നാംനാ സിദ്ധപദം യത്ര സാ സംസിദ്ധിമുപേയുഷി സസ്യാദ്യോഗവിദൂതമർത്യം മർത്യമഭൂവത്സരിൽ സ്രോതസംപ്രവര സൗമ്യ സിദ്ധിതാ സിദ്ധസേവിത കപിലോവി മഹായോഗി ഭഗവാൻ പിതരാശ്രമാൽ മാതരം സമനുജ്ഞാഭ്യ പ്രാകുദീശിം ദിശം യയോ സിദ്ധചാരണ ഗന്ധർവേർ മുനിവിശ്വാപ്സരോഗണേ അപ്സരോഗണേ സ്തൂയമാന സമുദ്രേണ ദത്താർഹണനികേതന ആസ്തേയോഗം സമാസായ സാഖ്യാചാര്യരഭിഷ്ഠുത ത്രയാണാമവി ലോകാനാമുപശാന്തേ സമാഹിത ഏതം നികതിനം ദാന യത്പൃഷ്ടോഹം തവാനഖ കപിലസ്യ സംവാദോ ദേവഹൂത്യാശ്ച ഭാവന യ ഇത് മനുശൃണോതി യോപിതത്തെ കപിലമുനിർമ്മതം ആത്മയോഗ ഗുഹ്യം ഭഗവതി കൃതദീ സുവർണഗേദ ഉപലഭതേ ഭഗവൽപദാരവിന്ദം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണി പാരമഹംസ്യം സംവിതായം തൃതീയസ്കന്ധേ കാപിലയോപാഖ്യാനേ ത്രയസ്ത്രിംശത്തമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ദിസ് ലാസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ കാപിലം that After hearing Kavala Maharshi's instructions, what happened to Devahuti after hearing all these things, right? So, you see there, what they said. Evam nishamna kabilasya vajo janitri sa kardamasya deidakila devahuti visrastha moha padalam. That is what happened. Visrastha moha padalam tamabhi pranamya tushtavadatta vishayangita siddhi bhumi. She understood that Tattvajnanam has happened to her. Tattvajnanam came to her. And he got released from illusion. Visrastha mohabadalam means, mohabadalam means the network of illusion. She got free from that. And then, tattvavishayangita siddhi bhumi. She got realized that what is Tattvajnanam has happened to her. Means, all misunderstanding has gone from the mind. All the misunderstandings are gone from the mind and the darkness has gone from inside. Remember, she came to Kapila Maharshi saying that I'm finding it difficult to control my mind and senses, isn't it? That's how she started, right? And that situation has changed now after hearing this, right? And previously also, using the same knowledge, even before Devahuti Devi is approaching Kapila Maharshi, the same knowledge was present in this world. It's not a new thing. That also you must remember. This knowledge is not a new thing. It was already there. Kapila Maharshi has come to resuscitate that again, to revive it. That's what he has done. Knowledge never disappears. Knowledge remains all the time. That is, Veda means that. Knowledge of the soul, it always remains. But it was given a rejuvenation by Kapila Maharshi, right? So that same knowledge, what has helped many others prior to Devahuti Devi in this world. Using that same knowledge, Devahuti Devi also got the benefit from that, and she started seeing the Kapila Maharshi as personification of that knowledge sitting in front of her in the form of her son, who was sitting there, right? He has come, that knowledge has come as her son, right? And therefore, she offers obeisances to him. Not as the son, as the knowledge. That's the important thing. Otherwise, mother doesn't offer obeisances to the son, isn't it? That's not required also. Son should offer obeisances on a bodily level. But here what happened? The knowledge has come in this form. So she offers obeisances to that form, which is nothing but the knowledge as personified form. That is what it is saying there. Right. So, there are always these issues in life. Whom should offer obeisances to whom? These questions keep coming up all the time. So, devotees also will get these difficulties. What is the right thing to do? For example, in the 10th canto, in Naimisharanyam, Sudha Goswami was talking to Shaunagrishi. And at that moment, Lord Balaram walked in. Sudha Goswami didn't get up from his chair, from his seat, didn't offer obeisances to him. And the rishis didn't say one word to Sudha Goswami. Rishis kept quiet. Because as far as they are concerned, he has done the right thing. They are saying to Balaram, we have invited him to come and we have asked him to speak. And when he is sitting on that Vyasasanam of the throne where he was speaking, whoever comes, there is no need to get up, no need to offer obeisances to anybody. Balaram walked in and he said, this is not right. So he took this grass, kusha grass or something, and smacked him and he died straight away. He died. And then Balaram felt bad about it. So the rishis told him that you should go on a pilgrimage and come out of this reaction from that. Now this question will come again and again in life also. So if you want, you can hear yesterday's class in LA what happened. when this issue came up, the person asked this question, and the speaker said, "I don't know the answer. The GBC will decide." He said, "This is how they answered that question. The GBC will make the decision." So you can see this problem coming in people's life. What is the right thing to do, isn't it? So there are, see, then they were saying that suppose your spiritual master comes in and you are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, should you get up from the chair or not? You can't blame anybody for this. This is the subtlety of life, or spiritual life, to understanding things in the proper way. This will not come through the books. This you learn from the people who have that tradition in them. Only from them you will know these things. You won't get the answer for all these questions from the books. Naturally, when you read Bhagavatam first time, when you have no idea about anything, you are reading Bhagavatam, and you will may think, based on your thoughts inside, that when Balaram came in, you should have got up. Actually, Balaram is Krishna himself, isn't it? So, Krishna comes in, you are discussing about Krishna, and you say, yeah, you are sitting there, and Krishna says, you sit there, I listen to what I am talking. That approach is, sometimes it may look awkward to many of us, but the rishis didn't have any problem. Rishi says to Balaram that we have given this position to him to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and he is doing that, and he is entitled for what he has done. But what you have done has gone a little overboard. And therefore, then Balaram says to them, I will give you that knowledge what you need. And he gave what you call it as Vishuddhavijnanam. It says in the Bhagavatam. The word used is Vishuddhavijnanam, pure knowledge of the self, to the rishis. And then he goes on this pilgrimage, long pilgrimage after that. So I'm saying that there are issues like this in life where you don't know what is the right thing to do. And sometimes you get confused about it. Anyway, here also, people may ask this question, that why Devahuti should offer obeisances to Kapila Maharshi? It all depends on the sankalpam inside. Devahuti's understanding is she is not seeing Kapila Maharshi anymore as a son who came from her womb. Rather, she is seeing him who has come to resuscitate this knowledge of the self to this world completely, and that personified form is sitting in front of me. And therefore, she offers obeisances to him in that way. So, so it is in that way that Devahuti is offering obeisances to him. Right. So, today, right now, in this life, right, if somebody is able to come to Bhagavatam and able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and if it is generating some spiritual thoughts inside, you have to remember that it is coming from so much Sukhradam what one must have done in previous lifetimes. Otherwise it won't happen. Something else will happen. If you feel that in life something has happened that you got inspired to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or you feel some understanding about thinking about Krishna and Krishna's position in this world, not simply seeing him as a person in Goloka Vrindavanam, rather his presence in everything in this world, and able to see Krishna like that, that means do you have a proper understanding of this, right? So, only in that case, she's saying here that this, Devahuti is saying this, that you will be able to even chant the holy name of Krishna. So, this is the reason many people I know, they find it difficult to chant. They will say everything, they will listen to everything, they can sit and listen to Bhagavatam, but they can't chant. Why? Why is that? Reason is this, that Sukhradam is not there. Krishna hasn't given them that mind to take to the faith in the holy name, hasn't become strong enough. That's the reason behind it. So, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam in several places, particularly here in the Kapilam, the conclusion is Yannamadheyam Shrinavana Kirtanan Yal Prakhonadjat Smaranadabi Kochil Shadobi Shadobi Sadjat Savanaya Kalpadi Kudapunaste Bhagavan Darshanal Ahobada Shubajatu Giriyan Yajihuagre Vartade Namadubhyam തേവുസ്തവസ്തെ ജുഹു സസ്നുരാര്യ ബ്രഹ്മാനുജുർനാമഗണം ദീയതേ. ചാന്റിംഗ് മീൻസ് നോട്ട് ഡൂയിങ് സംതിങ് മെക്കാനിക്കലി, ഓ ഐ ഹാവ് ടു ഡു മൈ 16 റൗണ്ട്സ് ഐ വിൽ ഫിനിഷ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ചാന്റിംഗ്. ചാന്റിംഗ് ആക്ച്വലി മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? That Krishna is saying, Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashrita Yadandiye, completely surrendered to Krishna with that awareness inside that Krishna has allowed me to chant and Krishna is chanting through me the holy name and that holy name is present in right in the tip of my tongue. You will see this Rupa Goswami saying also the same thing, isn't it, in the in his prayers. So again it comes to the same thing, chanting the holy name. It is not easy to chant the holy name. Lot of people are chanting on the understanding that, oh, I have committed this, I gave this commitment, so I am chanting. It's a part of the contract, so I am doing it. That's not wrong, but what will happen is it will take a very long time to develop that understanding of Krishna consciousness in the proper way. But while chanting, these things are important. My asakta manaparta yogam yunjan mad ashraya. Krishna is saying, completely taking Krishna's shelter and chanting. That makes a big difference. That's the most important thing. So Devahudi's opinion that only such people can chant the holy name. So, they must have, if they are able to chant like that, that means that they must have studied Vedam in some previous lives and they must have performed some spiritual activity, austerities and penances and many pious activities. It is only due to that they are able to speak about Krishna and able to chant the holy name of Krishna in this lifetime. So, if you think about this, you can understand it is the right thing because you can see that in your own experience if you look at it, you will see this. Many people in this world, they live their life in this world. A lot of people live in different ways. They live here, right? But when they try to live their life here, right, to take shelter of that power who is controlling all these things in our life, whom we address as Ishvara, Krishna's that aspect, or Kalam, and anything that happens in life, they don't get disturbed. They are able to survive through those crises, right? And why? Because inside they know life is not for any other things. They never feel weak inside. And they're able to get through this life in spite of everything what's happening in the world outside. Right? If it is happening in people's life, when you see some people, when they're able to do that, you can understand that we are a little different from them. Right? That they are able to handle the crisis in life with such a balanced way, able to deal with all situations in life, because they have taken Krishna shelter so strongly inside, that all these reversals in life is not affecting them. All kinds of reversals in life, right? And they are still able to continue with life in spite of so many things what has happened. There is a story I have mentioned before about Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar in Kolkata. Vidyasagar was a very learned person and he's son died and many people used to come to him and used to ask him many things because he was well known in that area at that time. So Vidyasagar, when the son died, his son's dead body was in the next room and he was sitting in this one room and there were some people visiting him and he kept talking to them as though totally unaffected by the son's dead body in the next room. He was so much in control about life that outward things what was happening did not disturb him. this is not out of ignorance, out of knowledge, that he was able to say to them for a minute that people have come to take his dead body. Give me 5 minutes time. They will take his body. Once they have gone, I can keep talking to you, he said. So these visitors were shocked. They didn't know that his son's dead body was in the next room. The people who take them to the cremation, they have come to take him. So as soon as they came and took him, they have gone. Vidyasagar was able to continue the conversation again with the people who had come. So this kind of stability inside, strength inside, where does that come from? That is what Krishna is talking about here. Devahuti is saying here that we won't be able to do such a thing. A small disturbance in our life is sufficient. The whole boat is rock, isn't it? Everything upset. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, because it's all happening like this in my life. You get shaken by everything, right? So that that situation, this is the proof of that. What will happen in life? Nobody knows how things will happen. But we always have this thing, everything should happen according to my plan, the way I have planned about my life. And this is the norm. Nothing else is the norm. This is what I think and that's the norm. If it doesn't happen, I get upset. Or I've done something seriously wrong in my life. Feeling a lot of guilty consciousness inside. All these things has to go from inside. It has nothing to do with it. So that is what he's saying here. That the Devahuti is saying here. That Devahuti's words, if you see, she says when she offering obeisances to Kapila Maharshi, is saying here that I have understood what you are saying. I would like to follow this path, she said. And Kapila Maharshi says this path is very easy. But if for them who give a lot of Shraddha in this, right? And for them it is not a very difficult, it's not very difficult. Adhyalpiya Margam, and go further in this life. Anandam, Shanti, Samadhanam. And Kapila Maharshi says you'll be able to complete the life properly in this way, right? And one thing you will notice there, Kapila Maharshi is saying, these words are not mine, he says. They are not mine, right? Because this has been adopted by the rishis way before me. Even Kapila Maharshi is saying this, right? I am only repeating the same thing again, he said. And it is again strengthening that conviction in us that life is not what we think. That means there's a lot of things in life what we don't know about life. Somehow due to our conditioning, we think that life is under our control. That has to go leave us first. That has to leave us first. That life is under our control. And when we start getting disturbed when the life is not in our control, that's also a symptom of avidya inside, ignorance inside. So after saying that, he's saying here that this samskaram or this kabilovadesham, right, has been practiced by people way before me, Kapila Maharshi says. It's not a new thing I am introducing here, right? But they have propagated, but somehow or the other, sometimes it becomes, it disappears from the world. So somebody has to come and re-energize it or recharge the whole thing. We are all like that, isn't it? We hear, we forget after some time. So we have to keep repeating this again and again. The truth is something different. As soon as you fall victimized by the mind, you will be in trouble. That's what happens. We leave, we study Kapila Maharshi's Kabilam well. After we go out, what happens? Mind takes over. So Kapila Maharshi's teachings is only within the hall. After that, it has no validity anymore. That shouldn't happen. That's what he's saying here. So, and he's saying here that Kapila Maharshi says here, one who accepts it properly, he says, they will be able to win over death. This is what Sadhya Savanaya Kalpade, right? And that means they will come to a stage, there is no more birth and death, and he will come into perfection, and this rotation will stop, cycle of birth and death, right? And that means there will be no more depressions and worries about life, right? He said, Kapila Maharshi says that. And then Kapila Maharshi asked for mother's blessings and left the place, right? You can see here something that Kapila Maharshi's nature, right? In one side, she is instructing the mother about the truth, right? At the same time, she has accepted, I am your son. Both, same time. On the one side, he is acting like a guru to her, instructing her in spiritual life, about spiritual life, about the truth of life, about the truth of life. On the other side, the mundane relationship also he maintains. This is what is required in life. We have to learn this skill, how to do this both. Doesn't mean that you don't have to disturb the mind of anybody. He still respected, you are my mother. But at the same time, when it was required that she needed these instructions, he spoke to her like that, in that way. Both sides of Kapila Maharshi's personality. This is our guidance in life, for us also. Like people sometimes think, oh, they are all karmis, my parents are all karmis, and family members are all nonsense, and they don't take to Krishna consciousness, and they reject everybody in that level. That is also not the right thing. That internally we have to know what we are, from the understanding from Kabbalah, but externally we need to deal with them also in the proper way, right? That means, as a son, he can accept as her as a mother, from a son's level, right? And from this level of knowledge, he feels that he has a right to instruct her. Quite difficult, isn't it? Most of the mothers don't want them to be told. They don't like, son, who are you to tell me? They'll say straight away to the son. Because I brought you up and you are telling me now what's right and wrong. Mothers don't want to listen like that. That's not their fault, because that's the way Maya works in this world. But here you can see this in Kapila Maharshi's relationship with Devahuti. That he felt very strongly that she needs to be told certain things. And when she was ready for it, he spoke to her with full authority, Kapila. And Devahuti sat there and listened to everything. Obviously, due to Kapila Maharshi's mercy, the message had affected her. And she understood what the ignorance she was in. And that ignorance is gone. But on the other hand, on a mundane level, he is her son. So he offered obeisances to her. So all these obeisances and all these things has only that much importance in these things, right? So, from the and gets the permission from the mother and leaves home, right? After that, what did Devahuti do? That says here. That you know that Devahuti had a very higher standard of material life, isn't it? Because Kardama Prajapati arranged that special facility for her, a fully detached house with all facilities in there, swimming pools, gardens, park, and so many things spoken in the Bhagavatam, right? And you can remember how their family life was, who Kardama and Devahuti Devi together. So, but prior to that, Kardama Prajapati's worship, spiritual life, we have seen that he had no interest in anything, without anything in life. He started his married life without anything. He started his married life without anything, right? And after that, when the time came, he had all things, what she wanted. And that is how Devahuti was living when Kardama Prajapati left and went to the forest, right? But now, what happened? After hearing Kabbalah, Devahuti lost interest in everything, in these comforts of life, right? And she understood that without any more caring for her own body, she was not caring for her own body, fully focused on what Kapila Maharishi has told her. That's all what was going through her head, right? And she spent the rest of the life in that way. Bhakti, Dhyanam, Jnanam, all three different processes, and through these different processes, what Kapila Maharishi has spoken to Devahuti, Devahuti kept reflecting through this. You will see this all the time. When you hear Tattvajnanam, immediately it should be followed by reflection. Otherwise it is no use. If you hear it like katha and leave it, everything, then you didn't get the benefit from that. Remember what Krishna told Uddhava. Uddhava, I have told you everything. What you heard now, go to Badrinath. Sit there. For that purpose he sent him to Badrinath. Who? Uddhava. Sit there and reflect on this, what you heard from me. Because only through reflection you will make it as your own, that thing. It's no use of, here, oh, I heard all these things from Krishna is saying like this. No, that is no use. Spiritual life is only complete when that knowledge has become your own knowledge. So that is what Devahuti did, right? So she spent her time like that, and all the misunderstandings have left her. Then secondly, he says here, one or two things in a very nice way spoken, that she doesn't have her husband anymore with her. And all the girls are married and gone. And the only person who was left with was the son. He is also gone now. Right? And so the separation from the husband, separation from the son, is both there in her. But that same situation what she was experiencing then, that means the depression what she was experiencing that they have left, right, that disappeared from her because of Kapila. Because what Kapila Maharishi spoke to her. Due to that, the depression she experienced for her husband leaving and the son leaving and the girls gone away, all that depression what she felt due to all that has left her because of hearing Kapila. It says like that, right? So these are things what we have to take notice of. You know why? Because today you are hearing Kapila, right? Tomorrow what your situation, nobody knows. Husband may have gone, wife would have gone, children would have gone, who knows? You are again alone at the end. And at that time, what will keep you satisfied and peaceful in life is Kapila. That is what this is teaching us. It has happened to Devahuti like that. Devahuti's husband has gone, daughters have gone away, and the son is also gone now. She's left alone. And in that situation, what was her strength? What kept her going was Kapila. She herself says this. Right? So, because the thing is this, spiritual life is for this purpose. In all situations, that you don't lose your balance inside. Otherwise, it is very difficult sometimes. In life, you can see this happening many, many people's life. They get so depressed in life when situations change at home. When everything, because what happened was that you took family life so seriously that it was giving so much happiness altogether that you didn't realize it, that one day it will go. That thought never happened inside. One day it's going. Or even when the thought comes, you'll see when it comes, you'll say. And that will continue like that. And you continue taking the maximum out of it. But here, Devahuti's life, you look at it. You see this important point, right? So, and what else? One day, the body will leave you. The one thing with whom you are identifying so strongly, more than anything else, your own body, isn't it? So when that body, when it leaves, if you are attached to the body, what will happen? You will suffer. But if you can accept that the body is also not mine, Remember, I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not for my enjoyment. These three things. If these three things are strong inside, you won't feel too much concern about this body when it goes. That way you will be able to accept it like that. Because this attachment to the body also, I know it is difficult. It is not easy. In one day it's not going to happen. But the principles holds good in all situations, right? Because at the same time, the attachment, that means when you are in this body, right, there is a lot of identities with that. You are a father, you are a mother, you are a wife, you are a husband, and you are a son or a daughter in this way. All these are identities through this body, isn't it? So, and when you are thinking about everything while sitting inside this body, right, and when you are identifying with this body, naturally you have identification with everybody else. As wife or husband or son or daughter or so many other things, right? And if anything is happening to them, that's affecting you as well. Because you are identifying with the body, right? And similarly, their separation will create problem, right? So, in all those situations, able to remain steady. That's possible, like the way Devahuti has shown here, right? So, the benefit of Kabilam is shown in these verses. The benefit of taking Kabilam in life, right? So, so that is why it says here that Devahuti was depressed because of her husband leaving, son also leaving, and the daughters gone away. After marriage, they have gone. It's not that they keep mobile phoning you and checking, are you happy all the time? And together we can be happy again together. All these illusions in our head will never leave us. We are always thinking all the time, because that's conditioning. Conditioning means that, right? So, that is why he's saying here, only to prove to us that her problems were spoken here. To tell us how she overcome after hearing Kabilam. If the Kabilam knowledge is inside, it will come to your rescue in situations like that. Because even though you may be very learned and knowledgeable in life, right, sometimes certain thoughts can come in the mind. Or somebody may say something to you and it can have an impact, effect on you. It can take your sleep off. Or somebody is saying like this, right? And it can make a change. Mind is so difficult to understand, how mind gets affected by your own thoughts and by thoughts created by others inside you. You know how it is, isn't it? So, all those things, you have to fight it out with this knowledge, what is required. And that is what is spoken here, how Devahuti handled it very well with this knowledge, right? And finally, when she lost her own body, dropped off, and she didn't even know that what happened to her own body. To such an extent, she was disconnected from the body. You see? And because when the karmam, if we understand the fundamentals right, that means when prarabdham is over, the body will drop. There is no jab for prarabdham. For the flu, you can give a jab. But prarabdham, there is no jab for that. That's what we say to all the NHS doctors also. You can give a flu jab, but you can't give a jab for the prarabdham, right? So, here, all accounts are settled, and she has gone back. She realized the truth and left, right? So, you will see something mentioned here. Devahuti's body has become a river. It says like that, in here itself, right? And that purifies everybody. And there is also spoken a place called Siddhapadam. It's spoken there, right? What it means is that she has become an inspiration for many others through this. She became an inspiration for many others. That means Kabila Maharshi spoke Kapilam. Devahuti got benefit from that. And she became an inspiration for others. That is what that means. When you say she be, you don't, when we say, oh, she has become a river, immediately you start thinking, where is that river? I could go and have a look at that river or bathe in the river, things like that. That's not the way to understand. This is the Pauranic language. Pauranic language is like that. In Puranam, you will see that many instances that Devahuti's body has become a river, that means it purifies everyone. River means it purifies others, which means that there's a place, Siddhavadam and all spoken, that Devahuti has become an inspiration for many others. But it is a poetic language to say like this, right? And so after this, what happened? This knowledge, what Kapila Maharshi left here. Another interesting thing is, this is the same thing Krishna is going to talk to Uddhava later in a different way. Knowledge is not different, same knowledge. So if you get inspired by Kapila Devahuti Samvadam, good. If you are not inspired by Kapila Devahuti, you are at the end in 11th canto, Krishna Uddhava is having a conversation, the same thing again comes back, right? So then after that, at that moment, when Maitreya Maharshi has spoken all these things to Vidura, isn't it? This third canto. And this Kabilobadesham, Maitreya Maharshi gave a blessing. Whoever hears this, let them also have some benefit from this, right? And they will become fixed up in this Shraddha and they will be able to go back to Krishna. And in that way, third canto finishes, right? So, Devahuti's story, Kapila Maharshi's story, and with that, third canto ends, right? So Kapilobadesham, from 25 to 33, has been spoken with only one goal, how to deal with life. How to deal with life. Particularly, when problems will come to this body. And similarly, in different situations in life, the changes that's created by the time and the impact that's created by the changing world in us, right? And many things will happen in life which may not be very pleasant all the time. And similarly, many people will come and join you in life and many people will leave you in life. But in all these situations, not being affected by that, so due to that, mind should not get disturbed over, right? And similarly, fear about tomorrow, what will happen? That's also there. Always feeling anxiety about tomorrow, what will happen? And things what has happened in the past, worrying about it, right? All these are all problems for the mind. What has happened in the past can bother your mind. The fear about the future can bother your mind. And similarly, what's happening in the present also. What Bhagavatam said, Shoka Moha Bhayavaha, mentioned before, right? But in all these situations, not being affected by that, and how to get through this life without any problems. So, and Kabilam will help. That's what Maitreya Maharshi's words are here. And that with that, Kapilobadesham finishes and third canto finishes. Now what we have to do? We have to go through the whole third canto in one lot. For it's 25 past 8. So, let's discuss this. Third canto, what did we learn from the third canto? Right. Three cantos we have completed now. Right. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, right? How to manage life properly? This is the science of Bhagavatam. How to manage this life? Right? And Bhagavatam is helping us through these stories. This Kapila Devahuti Samvadam, similarly, other Samvadams also, Brahmanarada Samvadam, all these are Samvadam for to manage our life properly here. And Naimisharanyam, what happened was, that Shaunaga Maharshi and Shaunaga Rishi and Sudha Goswami, there Sudha Goswami is introducing Bhagavatam to them. And Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And on the seventh day, when the death happened, the notice was given to Parikshit, he came to Ganga River and sat there. And Bhagavatam, then Shukha Brahmarshi came there and spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit, right? So that is where we finished the first canto. Is it not? First canto was all that. Finally, Shukha Brahmarshi comes and me. Initially, Sudha Goswami and Shavanagrishi talking. Shavanagrishi and others asked a few questions. To who? To Sudha Goswami. About life. Is it not? So in answer to those questions, Sudha Goswami told them, I have heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukha Brahmarshi. That Bhagavatam will give you all the answers to your questions. This is how it started. So then what happened in the first canto? Shukha Brahmarshi, how he met Parikshit. The whole background behind that. In what circumstances they met. And then Parikshit comes, sits there. Shukha Brahmarshi comes and meets him. That ends first canto. First canto finishes there. Then, second canto begins with the question, very interesting questions. When you know that you are going to die, what should you do? That was the question, isn't it? Variyan eshade prasnam. If you look at the first verse itself in the second canto, begins like that. What should a person do? Prasna krado lokahitam nirpa atma vil sammada pumsam shrodavyadushya param. If you look at that way, the prior to that, in the first canto itself at the end, he asked this question, yat shrodavyam adho japyam yat kartavyam nubi prabho smartavyam brajaniyam va bruhi yadva viparyayam nunam bhagavado brahman griheshu grahamedhinam na lakshade avasthanam abhikodohanam kojil evama bhashida prishta sarajna shlashnaya gira pratyabhashada dharmanyo bhagavan vadarayani. So that is the background before the second canto. And in the second canto, what you find is that one who has come to know that death is coming, is close to the death, right? And at the same time, everything is changing around him. So how should he should adopt it? How he should be able to accommodate that? Changes what's happening around. And when we are here, with this changing world around us, constantly changing, how we should deal with the people around us. It is a big thing in life, is it not? People are constantly changing. You can see, especially if you are a member of any organization, you will notice how everything has changed in the organization. If you are working in an office also, you would have noticed people coming and going all the time. And you have to remain steady. In spite of all the changes, what's happening around, right? So, and in everything it is like that. Ayaram and Gayaram goes on all the time. So, that is the nature of the world. You have no control over that. And when they come, you shouldn't get disturbed. And when they leave also, you shouldn't get disturbed, right? How to accept that changes? Properly, right? And similarly, relationship with others in this world also. And equally, whatever you have acquired in life, in the form of money or other things in this world, and tomorrow when you leave this body, still able to leave this body without any problems inside, right? So, to accommodate all these things inside, it requires a certain knowledge, isn't it? Changing world, changing relationships, changing all the wealth you have acquired in this world, whatever that is. And then, these people coming and going in life, these are all creating changes in life all the time. Apart from that, the death threat is also there. Death threat is not only for the leaders, we all have death threat. It is there, ready to come. But it's not coming from the terrorist. It may be coming from some other source, right? So, Parikshit Maharaj asked all these questions and Shukha Brahmarshi told him that if you are connected, Yadaval Sanghi Yoga Abhyam Sadharma Parinishtaya Janmalava Parapumso Andhya Narayana Smriti. If Narayana Smriti is there, you can handle all these things very well, he said. If Narayana Smriti is there, you can handle it. That's right. So, because only Narayana is real, everything else is false. Right? And because it's changing, everything else is changing. So, recognize this first, that Narayana is the only reality, Krishna is the only reality, everything else is changing, therefore it's not real. After knowing that, he said, deal with the life in that way, and that response from Shukha Brahmarshi to Parikshit, that is what we heard in the second canto. Second canto is all about that, right? So, then Parikshit asked the question. So with that, second canto finishes. I would like to hear in detail about Narayana. Who that Narayana is? What did he do? What does he do? Things like that. So then, he also said there, as Brahma Narada Samvadam. Brahma talked, so Shukha Brahmarshi said at that time, that I will tell you the question you have asked, the answer is already there, because same questions were asked by Narada Maharshi to Brahma. And Brahma has given reply to all these things. So I will just repeat that, he said. Just like Sudha Goswami said to Shaunagrishi and others, your questions about life I have heard from Shukha Brahmarshi. I will repeat that. This is a system in the Purana. They will never say, I know, I got the answer. No. They will say, I have heard this from another source. To show to us that you don't feel pride about anything. Never allow ahankaram to develop inside. So he says here that Brahmanarada Samvadam in that pattern, that in the second canto, which is the most beautiful way that's spoken there, you remember what he said, that Brahma is saying to Narada Maharshi, my dear son, don't get too confused about this whole thing. This whole creation is nothing but Krishna. That's how he started the answer. Whole creation is nothing but Krishna. Why it is appears like this in this way? Because of the power of Maya. Because of the power of Maya. That is the answer began. Remember that in the second canto, how these things were spoken. That through the help of Maya, Krishna is present in front of us like this world. Those things you should never forget when you study the rest of the Bhagavatam. Because often you think, oh, first and second canto is over, it has no relevance anymore. No. These things are the basics of this knowledge. Even Kamala Maharshi's teachings, you have to understand in the background of this. That Brahma Narada Samvadam, Lord Brahma saying to Narada Maharshi, don't get confused about this. This whole creation is Krishna. With the help of Maya, he is present in front of us in this form. And then, that secret how it works like that, he has spoken. Which we discussed before. Right? And then, many other questions Parikshit asked. A number of questions, you remember? The 8th chapter, Prasnavidhi. A lot of questions he asked. In one lot. He fired a lot of questions to Brahma. To Shukha Brahmarshi. Right? So, then he said that how this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma has spoken this to Narada Maharshi, and in the parambara it has come to me, Shukha Brahmarshi says, through Veduvyas, like that, to me. And he gives that, this is the answer to all your questions. For example, he said, you wanted to know what is birth and death. Is it not? What is birth and what is death? The answer for that. Similarly, this birth and death is dependence on what? Kalam. That kalam is Ishvara's another bhavam. Krishna's another bhavam, that is. Bhava means that another mode of Krishna. Ishvara bhavam. Right? So when he is Ishvara, he is called as Ishvara when he is controlling our life in this way. Birth and death. Right? That means at the same time in everything, whatever that comes to this world as a jiva, when a jiva comes here, he gets a body and he comes. And then in that body he stays for some time. And that he has to survive here for a certain period of time, whatever that is, depends on his prarabdham. And then end, he has to leave this world, leave the body here and go from here. Right? So, that is that controlling nature of this, our coming, staying and going away. That control is called Ishvara Bhav. You will see Krishna uses this word Ishvara very carefully about that. Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Why is it called Ishvara? Krishna says, I am not Krishna then, I am Ishvara then. I am not Krishna then, I am Ishvara. Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. What do I do then? Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani. With the help of Maya, I put everybody in this cycle of birth and death. So, that Ishvara Bhavam is spoken there. And with 10 different symptoms connected with that bhavam, which is sargam, visargam, sthanam, poshanam, udhi, manyandaram, ishanyugatha, nirodho, muktira, ashraya. With all that, Srimal Bhagavadam is available. I will say this to you, he said. Who? Shukha Brahmarshi said this to Parikshit. Right? So there also, you will see something interesting. Shukha Brahmarshi says, these questions are not new, what you are asking. Vidura has asked these questions to Maitreya. And I have heard this, I will tell you those things. That will answer all your questions, he says. Nobody wants to say, I have said anything. In the modern world, we all say, oh, I know the answer. But you look at the rishis, how they talk. They will never say, it's mine. I've heard this from somebody, and I'm saying this to you. All of them. Sudha Goswami does that. Shukha Brahmarshi does that. It is with this third canto begins. Maitreya Maharshi, Shukha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, all these questions what you have raised, earlier Vidura has asked to Maitreya, and I have heard them, I will tell you that. So third canto starts like that, right? So at that time, Parikshit asked this question, that I got interested in all these questions because I came to know I'm going to die in 7 days' time. What made Vidura to ask these questions? Same right thing, isn't it? So, then how did Vidura get this opportunity to hear this? So, at that time, how did Vidura get to know Maitreya Maharshi? How did he go to Haridwar to hear this? All these things. So, therefore, they had to go back to Mahabharata and tell the whole story behind it. How it all happened. Uddhava left Dwaraka, came to Yamuna River in Vrindavanam. He met with Vidura there. And then Uddhava conveyed the message to Vidura that Krishna has left Maitreya Maharshi to talk to you about the Ekadasha Skandam knowledge of the Ekadasham. And then he said like this. And then the whole story of Dhritarashtra and the Pandavas, all these things came up, right? Even though Dhritarashtra was told to behave properly with the Pandavas, right? Duryodhana got upset with that. and expelled Vidura from the palace. You know what, all what happened in the third canto, right, beginning. Vidura left the palace and went on pilgrimage, right? And then he heard that all the Kauravas died in the war, right? Then afterwards, in the Yamuna river, that is in Vrindavanam, this happened, that Krishna's friend Uddhava met him, Vidura. And then from Uddhava, Vidura came to know that Krishna has taken that form away from here, has taken the form away from us. That form has gone away from here anymore. Didn't say Krishna left the body like that, but the form has gone away from our vision, right? And then he said that, so then Uddhava also said that I received this knowledge from Krishna before he left, and Krishna has arranged Maitreya Maharshi to give you this knowledge. So Vidura traveled to Haridwar and met Maitreya Maharshi there, and at that moment Vidura said certain things to Maitreya Maharshi from his experience in his travels. You know, all these things are not happening in an organized way. Do you know what I'm saying? For us, everything has to be organized, isn't it? But here, it is happening in a very natural way. In the sense that, Vidura went on the pilgrimage, right? So, pilgrimage, he is traveling, wandering around everywhere, meeting all kinds of people, all kinds of languages they were speaking. You can imagine in India, how many languages we have got to fight each other. And then all kinds of problems. And Vidura is noticing all these things. Different customs, different food habits, and different rituals people perform, different beliefs, different faiths. It is such a variety there, available there. And everybody thinks they are doing the right thing. So Vidura is seeing all these things, and he has acquired. But certain things he found out very interesting. What was that? Everybody wants happy in life, to be happy in life. But only thing that's getting result is all unhappiness at the end. So this was bothering him all the time. So he asked this question to Maitreya Maharshi. And when Maitreya Maharshi heard this question, he smiled. And you remember how he answered this question, so beautifully he answered, that Vidura, you should know what Maya is first before you ask this question. That's how he answered that. How Maya does things. And once you know what Maya is, then this question will not bother you anymore. So he spoke about Maya, right? So so he mentioned that even though everybody is so different cultures, different languages, different food habits, different dresses and different customs, everything so different, but there's one thing in common in all these people. What is that? They want to be happy in life. They're working hard for that. But that's the only thing they're not getting it. I didn't find anybody getting it. He didn't find it in Hastinapur. He didn't find it anywhere else either. But this is what was actually bothering him. So he said that I didn't see anywhere that people want to be free from tension, anxiety, fear, everything. But why is that they are not getting it in this world? So this interesting question came from, that's why everybody will remember those verses in the third canto, fifth chapter, where he says these things, and what an intelligent question he has asked in this way, right? So at that time, Maitreya Maharshi said, everyone in this world is not working after they have understood the secret of this life. First thing. That's how he answered that. He said, it is not that they have understood the rules properly first, that they are working hard in this world. If you know the rules well, probably you will stop working here. But because most of the people don't know what the rules are, he's saying here that they are working, they are doing so many work, and most of it is adharmam, he says. It's not dharmam, it's adharmam. Because adharma means your thoughts, your words, and your actions should match. How many people have that now today in this world? It's not possible today, isn't it? Kali won't allow all these things. So, if you... this is truthfulness means, Krishna says like this, your thoughts, your words and your actions should match. They should not be different. It should be the same all the time. Only then you can say you are truthful. Otherwise you are not truthful. You are thinking one thing, you are saying something different, and you are doing something different. This is the world today. We all know that. Especially politicians, isn't it? That's how they are. And there's nothing you can do about it. And they will say always that they are the most truthful person. when they say something, it doesn't match. You can immediately see it doesn't match with their thoughts or their words when they do something, right? So that itself shows that their whole life is a mess. What they are presenting before you is a total mess altogether, right? Because what that shows is that their Shraddha has still not come to the rules what governs this life in this world. They have not understood that. You know, when these big people talk big things, what it indicates to us, people who have studied Bhagavadam, will see that he's just jabbering something without any knowledge inside. Yeah? That he is talking something because his mind is saying something to him. He does not know the laws behind this life in this world. And that is where everything goes wrong. And then what it becomes simply a game. For them. It's simply, who can play this game well, isn't it? And that becomes very cheap and useless, wasting time, right? So, that Shraddha, once you understand the laws of life, how the world survives in this way, it is going on, what is the rules behind it, that means that your Shraddha has come to Krishna. That means you have started giving attention to Krishna. Krishna is controlling everything. Krishna is behind everything. There is a calculation behind everything. And that's what is going to happen here at the end. So in that way, if your Shraddha goes to Krishna in this way, then your own body, mind, and your circumstances in this world, you will be able to understand better why you are in this situation like this today in this world. And you will be able to carry on with life. Once you understand the laws of life, the law of this world, how Krishna runs this show. Yeah? And that is why it's so important to know these things. When we don't know, then we act in a stupid way without any understanding, completely based on the mind. And then everything goes wrong. And then you blame others why things have gone wrong. Whereas instead, if you understand how this world runs, on what basis this works, system, right? So, when you remember that Krishnad Vimukhasya, it says, Vidura says there, Krishnad Vimukhasya. Krishna's Vimukhasya means that you have turned your face away from Krishna. That's what it is. Krishnad Vimukhasya. Mukha means face. Vimukhasya means you turned it away from him. That means you don't want to understand how Krishna runs this show, this world, how it goes on, right? Which means that you don't know the laws of this world. As I said from the beginning, there's a lot of things in this world what we don't know. What we know about life is very little, right? So, particularly about birth, about life in this world, about death, what do we know about it? When it comes, we just have to accept it. We have no choice here, isn't it? So, and because we don't know these things, where do we live now? We live in a dream world. Because we don't know the reality. Therefore, now our life in this world is living like in a dream world. And it is in this dream world all these things are happening. These big leaders fighting each other and trying to convince each other and their negotiations and their all sorts of things what they are. And then to help them the media also, together, all together. Keep this world in a dream state. Creates a dream world in people's mind. And we are living in that dream world, right? So, this situation, to living in a dream world like this, right? And due to that, we have problems, lot of difficulties in life, because of living in this dream world. That is the problem. That this dream world has created a lot of dreams in our mind, and there is no rules there in this dream world. You can do what you want, and everything, as long as you don't kill each other and satisfy each other your sense gratification, the dream world goes on. But that is not understanding life. Understanding life means, that is why rishis will always laugh when we go to them with our questions. They can only laugh at us because we come from this dream world with our problems, right? So, therefore he said that smarana, the answer for all the problem is smarana, remembering Krishna. And you should hear those things which will help you to strengthen that smarana inside, right? And then to know how Krishna created all this world and how he maintains this, how he destroys it when he wants it, you should know that. And at that moment, Vidura says to Maitreya, I don't want to hear anything else. I want to hear this first, he said. Right. So, so ajaram anushtanam, that means different ajaram means rules of this, what you have to follow, regulations, principles and all that, and different sadhana processes. Vidura never asked Maitreya about it. Did you notice that? Vidura didn't ask, what time should I get up, or how many rounds should I chant? This kind of questions never came from Vidura. Vidura's questions are much more deeper level. So he did not want to know anything about acharam or anushtanam. You have to observe all these things very carefully, because you can see a personality like Vidura, he is not like an ordinary person who doesn't know anything about world. He knows enough, a lot of things. And he is a person who is learning from life a lot. Like the Dattatreya Maharshi spoke about 25 spiritual masters, isn't it? 24 plus 1, 25. Similarly, Vidura also, from his travels, he has also got certain understanding about life. And he knows very well that there is some higher principles in this world which runs this whole thing. It is not so simple as you think about it. So that is why in his questions he didn't ask, what do I have to do in my spiritual life? What rules do I have to follow? These kind of questions never came from Vidura to Maitreya. All the questions are centered around the tattva, not about the ajaram anushtanam. Ajaram anushtanam is given by different acharyas to help the disciple to keep himself steady in spiritual life. Nothing more than that. More important than that is this tattvajnanam. If tattvajnanam is not there, you can spend the whole life in ajara anushtanam. Nothing will happen at the end. Ajara anushtanam is only for this purpose, so that you don't drop away from the track for that purpose. Tattvajnanam is important. So, Vidura says this to him, that I only want to know the secret of this life, he said. Right? And only when you get to know that, your life is benefited from that, right? So, without that, if I spend my time for anything else in this world, it will be only a passing time, time pass in this world. It won't be much of a benefit to me. Who said this? Vidura said to Maitreya Maharshi, right? Because I want to understand about this life. And also, as he said to Maitreya, that smarana, how can I create that smarana in me strongly? And that's the only thing that will help me at the end. This is how Vidura put it to Maitreya. That means I should understand this life properly. And you have mentioned to me that that smarana is important. Because you remember in the conversation, the flow of the conversation, you have to think about it. That Vidura also put a lot of questions to Maitreya Maharshi. And Maitreya Maharshi told him about this world, what it is. But he told him, behind this world, there is a force who is running this whole show. And keeping connected with him is more important than anything else. That's smarana. That is smarana. and that's madness. So Vidura says to Maitreya, all I am interested is, and to understand this life, and also I want to know how to keep that smarana strong in me. This is how he put it, right? So, if I have that, I will be free from all problems in this life, and I will be able to complete my life peacefully, he said, right? So, it is then that Maitreya Maharshi says to Vidura, based on his request, he said that, this is, Vidura, this is Krishna's maya. This maya shakti that is present in front of us in the form of all these living entities. So, if you miss out all these things, what will happen? We will start seeing things through our senses and start seeing living entities through the way you got it through the senses. Whereas here, what is happening? Maitreya Maharshi is saying to Vidura, Vidura, you have to see all the living entities as Maya's product, Maya's representation here, right? And it is Maya who is present in front of us in these different forms and names. Name and form. This is how, first thing, what Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura, right? So, he gave the secret of creation to Vidura, Maitreya Maharshi, right? So, these kind of description you won't find in any other shastra. This is specific to Vedic literature. Everywhere else they will say it was somebody created it and gone away and all that. Totally different from the Vedic understanding. Rishi's understanding is there is nothing separated from Krishna. Everything what you see here is Krishna. Krishna is present in front of us in all these different names and forms. Nothing else exists outside Krishna, right? This peculiarity of this creation, the way it's spoken here, you won't find it in any other scriptures, right? So, and there you remember what it was said? Krishna, within Krishna, using Krishna, created this creation called Krishna, maintained by Krishna, and eventually withdraws everything back to Krishna. Remember? Atman, Atmanam, Atmanam, all those things, one after the other. Where else in the world creation is spoken like this? Except in the Bhagavadam Upanishads. That's where only you'll find this. Therefore, there is no confusion in this. Once you start thinking the world separately from Krishna, you have problems. You will ask, when did he create this? And the way Maya and Krishna works together in this, that power, superior power. So, he told all these things. So, and in that way Srishti was spoken, right? And Brahma has spoken this to Narada Maharshi. In that way it was spoken in the second canto. The same thing, right? And in this creation, everybody is different. Different characters, swabhav, right? And what else? Not only swabhavam is different, your anubhavam, anubhavam means experience, right? So, anubhavam is considered to be a world of its own. That means that, you know, we talk about different world, isn't it? Surgalogam, Naragalogam, Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, and similarly Gandharvalogam, Siddhalogam, Charanalogam, Kinnaralogam, all kinds of logam we talk about. Now, general perception is that these things are some physical places somewhere. That's how you see it. What actually it means is, these are anubhava logam. Anubhava means that in your experience level, if you go logam also in the same way, it's anubhavam it is. Vaikuntham is also same thing. It's all, initially you have to think a place exists like that. That is how you start with. But later on when you become deeply absorbed in the Bhagavatam, you start realizing this. These are all here right now. You can go to Golokam here itself. You can be there. You can be in Vaikuntham. You can be in Gandharvalokam. These are all what they call it as Anubhavalokam. Inside, within yourself. Where you elevate yourself to that state. So, then, ultimately he said that all these different worlds, what exist, is also part of this creation. Different worlds. is also part of this creation, right? Then he said, it is endless if you start talking about this, right? But one good thing is, if you keep on talking about it, you will get purified in that process, right? Maitreya Maharshi says, and that is Maitreya Maharshi's humility inside, that as soon as I start talking about Krishna, he said, I get purified. I have that benefit, he said. And to show that, so Vidura got this doubt at that moment, that this is a very interesting question. Brahman or Krishna, why he got this desire to do all these things like this? That's a good question, isn't it? Everybody asks this question. Why creation? What did he get from this? Put us all into trouble like this. And what did he get from this? What have you done to him to put us through these things? We haven't done anything. Still, he created all these things, gave us all these different bodies, sent us here. And then why he felt that he has to play a game like this, putting up all these different dresses like us. And does that mean that has he lost his balance? Who? Krishna. He's asking that question. Has chuti happened to him? Why otherwise, why this? Because chuti should not happen to him. He's achyuta. He is. So why did this happen to him? This question came up. We'll talk about it a few minutes later. Jayado darpanam arjanam bhamaha davadni nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam ആനന്ദം ബുദ്ധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുബനംബരം ജയതെ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജസർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാനി വിദാസ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരഭിഷുനീചേന തരോറവീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നഥനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയി മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാൻ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഃഖിത്വൈ ഐ നന്ദനനുജകിങ്കരാം പതിതാം മാം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാം ബുധോ കൃപയാതോ പാദപങ്കജ സ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗലദശുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരപ്പുളകയർനിജിതംഗതാവഭൂ ആണുഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം യദർശനാം മർമഹതാം നിരോധു വാ യദാഹതാ വാ വിദദാതുലംബനോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥ സുദേവനാഭര സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ വിദുര ആസ്ക്ഡ് ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഹൗ ഡിഡ് ദിസ് ഹാപ്പൻ, ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ഷുഡ് നോട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ദി അബ്സലൂട്ട് ട്രൂത്ത്, ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഇൻ ടു ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ടി ലൈക് ദിസ്. That he wanted a desire come inside to play and then take the help of Maya and all. And that means he has also become a jiva, has it? This was his question, right? So therefore it is difficult to accept that. Vidura said this to Maitreya, right? It doesn't become logical, he said. That is where the problem is, isn't it? We used to a certain way of thinking and they think that that is illogical. What is this logic actually? So when he said this, who Vidura said to Maitreya, that it doesn't make any sense that Krishna had to take all these different forms to play and create all these living entities and in this way wanted to enjoy. That means that was he not satisfied within himself? That's one. Secondly, how come he got affected by Maya and played like this? This is not logical, he says. So, Maitreya Maharshi answered there that Maya means which does not work based on logic. That's the first thing to know. You remember we discussed all these things when those verses in the second canto said, he said, Maya means in the third canto, in the beginning. That's how he answered this. If you bring your logic into it, then it is not Maya anymore. Maya means that which will not... You cannot use logic to understand Maya. Maya, that was his answer. And that Maya will not go very easily. Right? And if you, with humility, he said, with a desire to know the secret behind life, right? And if you live your life in that way with humility, with a desire to know what the secret of this life is, and if you conduct your life in that way in this world, and at a suitable particular time when the mercy comes from Krishna, then you will know what Maya is. This is the only way to know Maya. You have to live in this world with utter humility, with a desire to know the truth, and get through this life in a way, in such a way, suitable for knowing Maya. In such a way, if you conduct your life and you carry on with that way, one day, when His mercy comes, then you will know what Maya is. Till then, you will never know Maya. This is how Maitreya Maharshi answered Vidura. We discussed this, all those verses also before, right? And you will understand that. Vidura says, then many questions after that. Just like the way Parikshit asked the Shuka Brahmarshi questions, in the same way Vidura asked Maitreya, right? So, in all the Puranams, it is like this. Somebody asking somebody else, and then the answers to that. This is how Puranam way of saying things, right? So, and what Puranam shows to us is things like this. What about this life, birth, death, and how one should live one's life, and these kind of things. There's nothing else in Puranam. Puranam all talks about these things. What's life? What's birth? How to live in this world properly? And how to organize our own life, right? So in answer to these questions is Maitreya Maharshi speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So, only thing is here, it is spoken as in a different branch. Because Maitreya Maharshi is not coming in the same branch as Shuka Brahmarshi. Sankhyayana Maharshi, all that, that's a Parashara Brihaspati, that's a different route. So it is in that way. But Bhagavatam is the same. They're all Bhagavadas, and therefore that's how it is spoken. So there it is coming from Balaram, Sangarshanamurti, Anandamurti. And from there, another parambara, and through that parambara, Srimad Bhagavatam has come to him, and that is what is spoken to Vidura, right? But to understand this better, to understand all this better, right? To know that this Srimad Bhagavatam is not something that what was compiled, like you wrote so many other books in this world, you know, like the novels and all that. That Bhagavatam was not compiled in that way, right? Instead, it was already inquired and experienced by the rishis, and their experience is compiled together, and that is Bhagavatam. Do you understand? Normally, other books in this world, what you study, is not based on the experience level, isn't it? Philosophical books also a lot of story books, novels and fiction and all that. It's all written in their imagination what it has happened. But Bhagavatam was not written like that. Bhagavatam is, knowledge was already there. Many people have realized it and they have experienced it, and then Bhagavatam was compiled. After that, from their experiences it was compiled. In order to show to us is why these two different ways it's spoken. Shuka Brahmarshi, one channel. Maitreya Maharshi, another channel. Third, fourth and fifth canto is all Maitreya Maharshi's channel. After that everything else is Shuka Brahmarshi's channel. So to convince us again that it is not somebody who wrote down and written a book like this without any sufficient thoughts. It is coming from several different sources. Coming from one parambara through Maitreya Maharshi, another parambara through Shuka Brahmarshi, and many other rishis, Narada Maharshi, Angiras, they are all a part of this, their realizations, and that is all put together in Srimad Bhagavatam, to convince us again the authenticity of the book. That's why it is spoken like that, right? So, And then you will see, because quite often when you read Bhagavatam, initially people will think, first time when you don't know anything about Vedic literature, when you start reading Bhagavatam, what impression would you get? You start thinking this is whole thing is very difficult, isn't it? To take it on, except first of all, especially as soon as you start saying like this, that in the second canto and in the third canto, the same thing is repeated about that lotus flower. Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, and he went underneath the stem, through the stem he went all the way down looking for where it starts, and then he couldn't find it, he came back again to the top. Like a frog goes through the Brahma went there, right? So, and Brahma inquiring, so when you read all these things without having sufficient background of the whole thing will become very difficult. So many people reject third canto because of this. Because they find it very hard to understand this lotus flower and Brahma sitting on the lotus flower. And he has got four heads as well. And he's looking in all directions, things like that, right? But then Brahma gets this idea of performing penances. And then he heard the sound from the sky, tapa, two letters. And he understood what he has to do. So all these things are completely difficult for people to take it on board. They'll think, all this is this all real? They will ask. The straight away, that will be the question, right? But he managed to pull out everything, and his Shraddha was always inside the, due to that austerities and penances. Then finally he meets up with Vaikunthamurti, Narayana. He meets up with that. Then Brahmastuti, then you find, you remember? Famous Brahmastuti, many, many verses. He glorifies Krishna in the Vaikuntha form, that Vaikunthamurti, right? And he says there, all problems of this body, mind, and all these various experiences in life, all this can be managed very well as long as you are with me. This is how Brahma puts it to him, right? Otherwise, everything will be a problem. Body will be a problem, mind will be a problem, and everything what I am doing here also may not end up properly if you are not with me. He puts it like this to Krishna. But so we heard all that things in those chapters, right? So Brahma's final prayers was that you should always smile at me, he said. Brahma is saying to Krishna, you should always smile at me. Means that you should always create such thoughts inside me, and that is my prayers, so that I don't forget you. You should create such thoughts in me so that I don't forget you. This is my prayers, he said. Because I know if I don't forget you, everything will be good. The moment I forget you, everything will go wrong. So this is the first realization of Lord Brahma, that if Krishna is with you in all circumstances, and if you don't forget him, then that is Brahma, Lord Brahma's upasana. Lord Brahma is not like us. He has to chant 16 rounds or 64 rounds or anything like that. He is not bound by any such rules. What he is saying is that I don't forget you. That's the main thing, right? So that was a beautiful prayers in the Bhagavatam. That Brahma's prayers, many, many, many verses. If you remember that in the beginning, yeah? Verse after verse, yeah? Brahma saying this. These are all the beautiful side of prayers in the Bhagavatam. That is the ninth chapter in the third canto. When Brahma says to Krishna, I understand you. Krishna says, what have you understood about me? He says, Jnatosi medya sujinandani deha vajam matnyayane bhagavato gadirityavadyam mayagunam vidigara jyadirul vibhasi. Then Brahma says, I have not understood anything. Afterwards he says, like that. So those famous, this is the first time Brahma offering prayers to Krishna, like this, in this particular, in the third canto, right? So that's that. Then, after that, what you find there is that then he says, I will tell you about life. What our ancestors, that means previous rishis, have spoken about it, which is called Bhagavatam. That's how he puts it, right? And what do I have to do? I had to inquire in the most subtle level, he says. When my intelligence has taken in its most subtle level and start the inquiry, and at that moment I understood that the understanding that the power behind all these things, that awareness, yeah, that means Ishvara Bhavam. To understand that is very difficult, isn't it? Because it's so abstract. So many things are happening in the world. People are coming here, taking birth, coming here, stays for some time, they're gone. Who are they? What's their history? Nobody knows. Why we all have different experiences in life? We don't know. Is it not? And why that we have to leave this place one day? We don't know. And what is prompting us to act in the way we are acting today? We don't know. Who is controlling our thoughts behind it? We don't know. So, lot of unknown things. And in the middle of all these things, I am trying to understand what the truth is. It's like exploring India. It's very difficult to know what its life is all about. There is no clear answer to all these questions. You can go in one way. Don't care for anything. You think you are this body. I am an Englishman or an Irishman or German or anything. And fully you can live like that. In that bodily identity. And live your life in this world and die and go. And you are not bothered what happens after death. You are not bothered what happened before death. And you are not even concerned. You're thinking you are the body. And you can live like that in this world and leave this world. But that's not the answer to the question. Here what he's saying here is that when he inquired who is behind all these things, that power, Ishvara Bhavam, Krishna's Ishvara Bhavam, that only when this intelligence has become very subtle, he was able to capture this properly. That what that Ishvara Bhavam is, right? So, and that Ishvara Bhavam is present inside us. That's another interesting thing. You see, this Antaryami principle is so beautiful in the Veda. It makes sense to everything. How every jiva in this world in different bodies is behaving differently. Why? We don't behave in the same way, every one of us, isn't it? We all have our own likings, dislikings, our own choices, our own preferences in life. Where is this all coming from? And who is directing this from inside? We ourselves never think about it. And inside, present as you can see in Upanishads, particularly Brihadaranyam, talks about this Antaryami Upasana in such detail. Why? Because Antaryami is our life, really. Strictly speaking, our life in this world is Antaryami's life. Antaryami is making every decision for us. All our thoughts, all our emotions, and how we react to every different situations. Even when we make decisions, we think we have made the decision, isn't it? But actually, Antaryami makes the decision. According to our prarabdham and according to our vasana, what we have to get through, he says to us, go ahead and do this. And we just go and do it. That is how helpless we are. But we don't know that. And we think that I have got all this responsibility, whole world is on my shoulders. I have to sort this world out first. And I am living like this, thinking like that. I've got all this responsibility on my shoulders. And I realize one day that I am also like anybody else under the same clutches of Maya. So this is called Maya. When you start thinking like that, I have to do all these things, I have this. And that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in different ways. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. That kartaham has to go first. Krishna is doing everything. But it is not easy to accept that for a normal person. It's very hard. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. In the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita. And here also kartasmidi nibadhyade. In the same third canto you will find that word spoken. So, after saying this, he says that to understand Ishvara properly, And when you start taking shelter of that Ishvara, who is present inside a Santaryami, who decides that you should be like this in this world, at this time, in this position. What you should be doing. Who makes that decision? Krishna makes a decision. In life, in particular situation you should live, in a particular place, and in particular conditions. Even that decision is made by Ishvara. He makes a decision, right? And if you keep taking a shelter, you will get to know this better. That is how it is decided. Certain positions in life. Positions means to be a father or a mother. It's a position like that, isn't it? It's nothing more than that. What else is there? Father, mother, or brother, sister, husband, wife. These are all positions in life. For a certain period of time, you have to live like that. After that, that position is taken over. You are not a husband or a wife anymore. You are not a father or mother anymore. As long as all these relationships exist, it has some meaning, right? So he's saying here that in all these situations, Brahma is saying that I should be able to see that you are the one who is putting me into these situations, positions like that. And he says here, if you have that understanding, it will help a lot. You won't get bewildered by the changes what's happening around. Then Maitreya Maharshi talks about creation process, right? Then he said that a small part of that is that Brahma says, I have received a little bit of your mercy, he said, because when I am conducting my duty, he said, of this thing called creation, right? When I had problems during creation, all I did was I took your shelter straight away. Right? And I was able to get through that. You remember? In the early stages of creation, Brahma got problems. He created things we didn't want. And they started to eat him. Hobgoblins and all, it's mentioned there. Some strange names which you never heard before. What these hobgoblins are, I don't know what that is. But some devils and spirits and evil spirits and all that. Apparently in English that's the word it is, it seems. So, so they were created and they wanted to kill him and eat him. They didn't think he's my father or anything, he's a creator. He got so frightened. So then he took Krishna shelter and then he changed his form. That means they disappeared from him. So from that what he's saying is, Brahma is saying, that if you have these prayers like this to Krishna, right? That means dependence on Krishna at every stage in life, all the time. Then whatever circumstances happens in life, you will be able to handle that without problems, right? Then he talks about creation. And Maitreya Maharshi asked Vidura about that. So in that way, we know how creation was spoken. Different kinds of living entities, different nature, different behavior, right? Then he also mentioned there, when you forget Krishna and continue the life in this world, that is also a part of this design. It's not that why they have become like this. A part of this creation is like this. There will be a lot of living entities who do not want to be connected to Krishna, to remain separately from that. So, if you see self-realized souls who are fully advanced and understood the truth, or those like us who want to understand the truth, but we are in bondage, or those who doesn't want anything to do with it, all these three groups belong to the same creation. It's a part of this creation. It will always be like this. There will be someone who has understood the truth. There will be someone who is trying to understand the truth. And there will be somebody who doesn't want to know the truth. That's the way creation is. That's the way creation is, right? Then he spoke about that the specialities of time, kalam, which we discussed before, right? And then he came about with this principle that first the human species, how they came in. Brahma said that, isn't it? Brahma himself split himself into two. And that, he found that magic worked. Which one? Man and woman. Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa Devi. Right. So what is it showing here? That Brahma understood that through this process of creation of Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa, the attraction between man and woman will remain forever. It will be very difficult. That comes from the same source, Brahma. Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa. But the attraction between the man and woman is a very powerful thing, right? So, then he mentions there that this variety, what you find in this world, right? In the middle of all that, this smarana has to be strengthened, right? So, it was only to create this smarana that Srishti was spoken, creation was spoken, right? And then he talks about all kinds of creation, like trees and plants and creepers and everything else. But he said there, when you take notice of the human species, of all of them, right? And when you look at a different way different living entities are reacting in this world to different conditions. Animals react in one way to life. We react in a different way. Trees react in a different way. Is it not? So we are all been thrown into this world. All living entities. We have been thrown into this. But we all react to life in a different way. That's what he was pointing at. Right? So he's saying there that human body seems to have able to inquire about whole thing much better than the animals and the others. Right? So even though you see such a big variety of living entities here, it does not matter. This variety is not important, but the source is important from where everything has come. From everything has come. Right? Source. And there the smarana or remembrance should be at the source, not in the variety. Do you know in the West mostly people are absorbed in the variety, isn't it? They get captivated by the creation. They go down and go underneath the water miles in the oceans, and at the bottom of the ocean, what kind of life they find there. They think that it is a big thing, what they have got from there. Do they not see that? Discovery Channel, if you have not seen it, you can watch that. They'll bring it up as though there's something spectacular happened. It's not spectacular at all. What's so spectacular about it? The whole planet and the creation and everything, when you look at it, everything is amazing here. What is not amazing? Our own body itself is amazing. Every single thing, if you take in this world, it's amazing. This body is breathing without my knowledge, isn't it? It's working on, keep on working. Even when I go to deep sleep, it's still breathing. Where I'm not fully disconnected from the body, body keeps breathing still. When I'm hungry, I eat food. After that, what happens? I'm not bothered. As long as it satisfies here, I'm finished with that. After that, it has created a problem inside, it doesn't matter. But it's satisfied here. So, like this, is that not amazing? And how this body adjusts to different situations, different conditions. Same thing with the mind. Same thing with the intelligence. Same thing with the ahankaram also. Everything you look at this body, it's amazing, the whole thing. So, if your own body is so amazing, what to talk about everything else in the creation? And then they find that when they go into the deep ocean, or when they see some life in another planet, they get surprised why this has happened. Now, yesterday there was a news that in the Mars planet, there was an earthquake. There was a quake. Not earthquake. There was a quake in the Mars planet. And NASA managed to take some photographs of that. Because they got the sounds from that. What has happened? And they put it in the newspaper. Everything. How does it matter to me if there was a quake in the Mars planet? This is their mind. This. You remember I mentioned before that their mind goes vastunishtam. Vastunishtam means they see things and it affects them too much. They can't think more subtle than that. This is the problem. These scientists are talking about. Our Indian scientists also is going in the same route. They have lost that Rishi's way of looking at things. Rishi has never gone in this direction. Indian science is also part of this modern science, isn't it? They get so much excitement about going to moon and landing the rover there. What's this big deal about it? But this is not Rishi science. This is the modern science, right? It is only a competition with the rest of the world and to prove that we can also do what you are doing. But this is not even considered important from the viewpoint of the rishis, right? So the thing is this, that the whole creation itself is amazing. It is difficult to understand this creation. From the smallest amoeba or the worm to the biggest living entities, elephant or powerful rhinoceros and all that, everything is amazing here. How this all working, this system. So that is what he is saying here, that all these things, getting caught up in that is no good in this creation. Instead, if all of them creates the smarana of the power behind it, Krishna, then it has done some benefit. This is the way rishis see things. So, after that he says here, because you can see all these living entities, they come here, they live their life and they go. Whichever type of body they have got, isn't it? And the only people who disturb that is us. Nobody else does anything. We go and we decide which species should survive, which species should not survive, as though we have been given this responsibility to manage everything. So much stupidity. This is all coming from lack of Krishna consciousness. If you understand Krishna is controlling everything, you don't have to take this responsibility on your shoulders, right? So, again, this is due to Maya. Maya puts these situations, right? So, he says here that due to the power of Maya, all these things what you are perceiving here is nothing but Krishna in another form, right? So, that means as the foundation or basis of everything, and Brahma's words, and this male-female form of creation's beginning, right? And then ultimately Brahma is saying there that you should continue this creation further to Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa. He spoke to them like that. And it was at that time a problem happened. The earth went down in the water. And Lord Brahma prayed and from his nose came out Varahamurti, right? And then Varahamurti brought back this earthly planet. We had discussed all that before on its tusk. Brought it up and in the middle there was no problem, but then he had to kill Hiranyaksha, came to fight. And there was a fight with Hiranyaksha and we saw all that. Hiranyaksha Vadham and everything. Then what happened? The visit of the Kumaras to Vaikuntham. And the four Kumaras were cursed by Jayan Vijaya. And then what happened there? Argument between Jayan Vijaya and the Kumaras, and Krishna comes there. And then you know what happened, that they had to take birth. Jayan Vijaya were cursed by Kumaras and they came through the womb of Didi Devi as Kashyapa Prajapati's children, as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. When you bring it all together, you will see a lot of things what is mentioned there. So many conditions, right? But he said like this, that Hiranyaksha had this nature to push the earth down, right? So what does it all mean? What does this mean? That this nature that within us, right, to flout the instructions, unnecessary thoughts coming within us to flout Krishna's instructions, right, and that's actually Hiranyaksha who's coming inside. So it is spoken in the story form like this, Hiranyaksha and all other things, right? So that story is basically, you remember we talked about that before, that Hiranyaksha Vadham, you have to see it like this. Whenever such thoughts are coming, unwanted thoughts, to separate us from Krishna, take us away from Krishna, and think in a demoniac way, that is Hiranyaksha. It is Hiranyaksha's appearance inside us, right? So, and this can happen in an individual's life, a family's life, or a society. This can happen anywhere, right? Because such thinking will upset the balance of the world. What is that thinking? Thinking is, that is why you see there, Hiranyaksha's life is connected with the Yajnam. If life is not Yajnam, that means that life is upset. The life balance is lost. Yeah. So Yajnavaraha Murti is called for this reason. That if human life is not Yajnam, if the life is not Yajnam, then that life is problem. Life is a problem. That means is Hiranyaksha is working for him inside. And that is what that connection between Yajnavaraha Murti and this Varaha Avataram. You have to understand it like this. Do not go by the story alone. The tattvam behind that is, if our life is deviation from Krishna's instructions, particularly about this Yajnam part of it. Remember in Bhagavad Gita how many verses Krishna has spoken about it. Parasparam bhavayanda prema paramavapsyatha. He is saying. Is it not? Yajnam, he says, annad bhavati parjanyam, parjanyam annasambhava. All those verses, so many verses you will find there. Krishna keep talking about yajnam, yajnam, yajnam all the time. Why yajnam? Because that should be our life. That is why it is spoken like that. So when you move away from that yajna bhava or yajna mood to the selfish mood of looking after oneself and my own happiness, that means the balance is upset. Balance is gone. That means Hiranyaksha has come inside. This is the way to understand that. That is why Hiranyaksha and Yajnam is connected in the third canto. In Bhagavad Gita, it is in a different, directly spoken. In Bhagavadam, it is spoken through this Varaha appearance, Varaha incarnations. So you can see in the third canto itself, it has started like that. So, Yajna Bhavam, right? So, that means you are living a life in this world without properly knowing about life. That's what it is. You are not able to understand what life is about. I mentioned before also, lot of things about this life we don't know. We don't know. And we also don't know what's the right thing to do. In that situations, these instructions matters a lot. Right? So only through this knowledge and proper following these rules, that steadiness, unnecessary emotions and thoughts will go. And with that, the unbalanced state will go away. It will become more balanced. And never again you will fall down. Like the way Mother Earth is gone underneath the water. It will not happen. So, think about this. When we say that Earth was put underneath the water, Varahamurti pushed this planet underneath the water. People asking, where is that water? You want to find. That's not what you ask. You should immediately ask the question, what has it got to do with me? What do I have to understand from this? The tattva behind that is this. That is why you study that Yajnavaraham, how the rishis glorified Yajnavaraham. That is the important part of that. Because rishis are looked at Varahamurti and said that he is a part of sacrifices. All the way, Yajnam is the major part of the Vedam, is it not? Adiratram. All kinds of Vedic rituals is based on Yajnam. And that Yajnam Raham is this Rahamurti. So from there you have to understand it this way. That if within me, if any evil thoughts are coming, selfishness, swarthana, that's what they call, selfishness comes in me and does not want to use this life as a Yajnam, means sacrificing for Krishna's pleasure, that means Hiranyaksha has come inside and he wants to push me down. That is why this pushing down means going down to lower levels of consciousness. That's what pushing down means. Going to lower levels of consciousness. Right? So, then we saw Varahavatara story, Hiranyaksha's killing. And when you hear all these things, you will get a little strength from that in life itself, how to deal with that. That means that mind, intelligence and senses all these things, how to manage them nicely in life, and able to develop some strength inside, a power you get from this, by studying this Hiranyaksha story. Hiranyaksha story, if you study, that's the benefit from that. So, because Varahamurti is considered to be Yajnamurti. Yajnamurti means the murti or the personality of knowledge. Of knowledge. So, in other words, once you have understood this Varahavatara Katha properly and Hiranyaksha Vadham, then gradually it will make you realize the necessity to be living a life in Krishna's shelter, always, with full knowledge that Krishna is controlling everything. Right? Right. Then, afterwards, Vidura asked Maitreya Maharshi that he wanted to hear about Swayambhu Manu. Right. And then he told him that he had three boys and two girls. And then, like family people ask, how many boys, how many girls? It's the same way he asked. Then he said that that first story he's picked up Devahudis. Akudi Devahudi Prasudi. Somehow or the other, Devahudi story was more interesting. So Devahudi was spoken first. And he said he got married to Kardam Prajapati. And then they entered into householder life. And then ultimately he took sannyas and left. And Devahudi, because he has said this to Devahudi at the time of marriage itself, once a son is born, I will go. Right? So it is after that only Swayambhu Manu married Devahudi to Kardama Prajapati. Right? So again, Swayambhu Manu is, then they go back to Swayambhu Manu's life, what we saw. How ideal personality he was. Who? Swayambhu Manu. Now you see here a lot of interesting things. And look at your own life and you will see a lot of connections there. Swayambhu Manu had a son by name Priyavrata, Uttanabada, and these three daughters, right? Daughter's life was not difficult to settle. They somehow or the other, Devahudi was happy to marry Kardama Prajapati and Mayo. When it came to son's life, Priyavrata said, I don't want to get married. And he couldn't do anything about it. So what did he do? He went to the granddad, to Brahma. And he says to him, I've told him to get married, he's not getting married. What shall I do? He said. So these are things in life to know. That you may be thinking everything is so organized for us in life. Nothing is organized here. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, say to Brahma that this is what's happening. It's not working. What can I do? So that's what he did. If Swayambhu Manu could not get his son convinced about marriage, what he has to do? What about us? If it goes wrong, don't get upset about it. That's the main point from this. Because all these issues will come up in life later. Today you may not feel, you'll think that they will listen to you all the time. They may not. So, Swayambhu Manu, what did he do? He said to Priyavrata, Priyavrata, you should get married. You are the eldest son. And once I've gone, you should be in charge here. Just like any other father. Priyavrata said, I have met Narada Maharshi and he has given me sannyasam. I'm going to Badrinath, he said. I don't want to be part of your business and your empire. You can carry on with what you like, he said. So Swayambhu Manu tried very hard to convince him. He wouldn't agree. Eldest son. And inheritance, big inheritance, whole planet. Isn't it? So what did he do? He said, he's not listening. I go into Lord Brahma to talk to him about it. And then Brahma comes with who? Swayambhu Manu. And who else? Narada Maharshi. So that there was no loophole for Priyavrata to get out of it. He thought that if three of us together put the pressure, it will work. And then what happened? If you look at Brahma's words there, Brahma says to him, Priyavrata, you are not independent. I am also not independent. Manu is also not independent. Narada Maharshi is also not independent. Lord Shiva is also not independent. Nobody is independent. Everybody is working under his direction, referring to Krishna's control about it. This is the way to understand life. We are all under his control. You may be thinking, I am in control, this is my duty, that's my duty and all that. But that's all only up to a certain extent you can say like that. on a higher level, if you understand, he has a plan and that's what will work, accordingly everything will be set up for that plan. That's the way we have to see it. But anyway, that is later on, it will talk about that. When the fifth canto comes, when Priyavrata and Brahma's conversations. And this Priyavrata was not an ordinary person, very powerful personality. And the person who said he didn't want to get married, married twice after that. So what do you think about life? You are saying that I will be this, I will be that and all that. But this higher, and he had many children from them. Is it not? So coming back to this, that Devahuti's story, what we have seen here. Then you will see there that Swayambhumanu's life was spoken, discussed, isn't it? That's very interesting, that Swayambhumanu. What was that speciality with him? Shariram manas. He had no problems in his life. You remember what he said there? Yeah. Sharira, manasa, deha. Those verses, yeah. And this is interesting, he said. Who said this? Our Shuka Brahmarshi. Maitreya Maharshi is saying there, actually. Maitreya Maharshi is saying there that he never had any sufferings in life. And considering his long life, 71, Chaturyugam, isn't it? That's how long he lived. 22, yeah. Two verses only you have to learn from, only two verses you have to pick up from his life. One was, Sharira manasa divya vayase yeja manusha. Bhaudigascha katham klesha bhadande hari samshraya. Maitreya Maharshi is saying there, a personality like him, who has taken complete shelter of Krishna, how can he have any problems in life? Either physical or mental or any other type of problems. Eja manusha. Bhaudigascha katham klesha. How can he have any material miseries? Bhadande harisam shraya. One thing. Second thing, the reason for that was Ayodayama tasyasan yama swandarayavana shrunado dhyayado vishnu kurvado bhrodakara. This is the only thing what he did in his whole life. 24 hours remembering Krishna. Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's holy names. And when he wanted some entertainment, different roles of Krishna's pastimes, he was acting himself. To such an extent he was Krishna conscious. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only two devotees who played this, Gopis and Swayambhumanu, who played Krishna's pastimes themselves too and relished it that way. So his lifestyle was like that, right? That means in all circumstances he was able to manage it without any problems and he was able to enjoy it very well. Right, and it is also a reminder to all of us because we are also Manu's people, isn't it? Swayambhumanu's descendants we are. That's why we are called human beings, Manu, Manavas, right? Then what we define there? Marriage between Devahuti and their married life. Who? Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti. And the seriousness of Kardama Prajapati in spiritual life. You see, even though he was married, how serious he was about spiritual life, right? How he controlled himself and lived his initial time with Devahuti without being carried away by Devahuti, right? And then later on, after speaking to Devahuti and knowing from Devahuti that she wants to have some material happiness, only after that, Kardama Prajapati decided to change his married life. Till then it was all very much spiritually, totally absorbed in sadhana. Right? So therefore he understood that we need some facilities. It's no good in getting married when you don't have a house to live. And also, no money in the hand. It will be like Sudama's life then. But Devahuti was not like Sudama's wife, was not willing to live like that. She wanted, she had desires, and she said this to him. So, and then she had desires to have children also. And so that Devahuti informed him, and then for therefore that said, that, and then later on Devahuti realizing that I was trapped by Maya, she realizes this, right? Then even though I got such a nice husband who has such a strength in spiritually, right, and who had good understanding about life, and who could have given me a higher understanding of life, why did I mislead him in this way and wasted my time also along with that? Why did I not think properly at that time? And then at that time, he leaves, Kardava Prajapati leaves, saying to him that there is a word from, because he served me so well before, that Krishna has given me a word that your own, he will come as your own son and he'll give you all the directions in life. Right? And only to please Devahuti, our son. For that purpose, Krishna has come here. And at that moment, you can see how Devahuti's life changed. Right? Devahuti felt in life, life is meaningless to me. I had a husband who has gone, taken sannyasam and left. I was living a comfortable material happiness life. That's also not making any sense to me. And he one day, and Kapila Maharshi is waiting there for her to come, because he didn't want to tell her anything before she is ready for it. So this is again another thing to learn, that in spiritual life, till you get that desire from inside to know things, any amount of you are forcing on a child from outside, it will not work properly. You can do up to a certain extent, that's all. Some habits you can develop in a child. But if his vasanas are different, till from within himself that thought comes to inquire, happens, he won't accept it. You can tell him, he may listen to it, but he won't accept it. Acceptance comes only from within, it has to come, from inside. And that's what it is showing. And that is why Kapila Maharshi waited there. Let Devahuti understand about life and let her feel that she needs a spiritual life. At that moment, if you instruct, it will work. And this was known to Kapila Maharshi. That's why he was staying in the ashram, not saying one word to Devahuti. One day Devahuti felt this. It took some time for her to analyze everything within herself and come to this understanding. So you should keep these things in mind. Otherwise, you could get confused in life. I did everything as what I have to do. Because we are thinking they'll all become pure devotees, like Goswamis and all that. They won't. They may not. What they will become, only they know. Or who knows what they will become. So that's all. Not, nothing is guaranteed, I'm saying, in spiritual life. So, so here what happened was that you'll find there something is not right about life, Devahuti felt. And in order to get rid of that, Kapila Maharshi decided to give Kapilam to Devahuti. That's what we were discussing about it, right? Not only for the mother, but for the rest of the world, forever, right? And that he has spoken. And Kardama Prajapati spoke to Kapila Maharshi before that and went on sannyasam and took away and left, right? So what happened to Kardama Prajapati at time? When this attachment to family all gone, totally released from everything, that this particular identities, due to this identification with the family, selfishness, all these things have gone, and he was able to see the whole world, nothing but Krishna's manifestation. This is how it happens. When we get free from all our bondage in this world, we will also realize that the whole world is actually nothing but Krishna's expansions. There is nobody dear to us, nobody is against us. And everybody in this, in creation, is as important as anybody else. Today we have Veda Buddhi in us. We think this country is important, this society is important, this family is important, these friends are important. This is all Veda Buddhi. In Krishna's, if everything is Krishna's expansions, why do we have this Veda Buddhi in us? It's wrong, isn't it? Then we have got again VIP, then VVIP. All these different, we put everything in blocks like this. And we think this is all spiritual life. This has nothing to do with spiritual life. This is all for your material management. You're doing all these things. So, you can see, when Vedamuddhi, Karnama Prajapati's life is that, when he left home, the last knot of material attachment was with the family. That's broken. Now he is seeing the whole creation is nothing but Krishna's expansions, right? And this realization is the realization which will show to us that you have reached the highest stage when you come to this realization. Otherwise not. You can put your sannyasam clothes, danda and everything. But if you have not come out of all these boxes where you are booked up before with the different identities in various forms, then you are still in the box. You are not out of it. Sannyasam means, actual sannyasam means you are out of all the boxes. That you are not anymore, identities have all gone, right? So, then Devahuti saw this, that Karnama Prajapati has reached their stage. She thought, why did it not happen to me in this way? And then she realized that I have no control over my own mind is causing this problem. And she goes to him, and that is what you find. And when Kapila Maharshi started this Adhyatma Yogam, right, 25 to 33 chapters, Kapilopadesham, famous in the Bhagavatam, worth reading again and again and again, reflecting on that. So beautifully spoken, right? And he mentioned there how to accept this life properly and to understand this life, what is the reality here, and it is for that purpose. And first thing what he says is, you feeling happy and miserable in life only because of your mind. That's the first thing he said, isn't it? Chedakhalyasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya radam vapumsi muktaye. The opening gambit is that. That you understand this first thing, your happiness and distress in this world is totally dependent on your mind and nothing else. So, and then a detailed survey of the whole thing, right? Our thoughts, our nature, our habits, and also experiences in life at different times, you started accepting all this as permanent. Then the problem started, right? So, as soon as you become close to Krishna, and start, Krishna is ruling, running everything, Krishna is behind everything, and your address also is connected with Krishna, not to with Stanmore or Lashmore Heath or anywhere. That's not your address. Actual address is with Krishna. And when you start taking that, all other addresses, like father, mother, or husband, or wife, and all these things, are temporary things, coming and going, nothing permanent. And with that, most of the problems will go, when this understanding comes, right? And for that he gave few processes. What? Bhakti Yogam, Sangha Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Dhyana Yogam. For processes to get this understanding. You see, normally we say, which yoga process are you following? But we are forgetting the fact that all yoga processes is to get us to this realization that in this creation everything is Krishna at the end. Nobody is dearer to you, nobody is against you. There is only one thing here, Krishna, nothing else. So all these Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Karma Yogam, all these things are to help us to get there, right? So those processes were spoken, and he said Bhakti Yogam one way, and people who have got very thoughtful nature, who have got a purity inside, for them Sankhyam, Jnana Yogam, all this. And then another process, who can focus very carefully on things, for them Dhyana Yogam. Right. Then Devahudi, after hearing all those, said to Kapila Maharshi, I think I will put up with Bhakti. I will stay with Bhakti. All other things are not for me, she said. She was able to make up her mind. Right. So therefore, according to Devahudi's request, and that should be our understanding as well, because we are more like Devahudi in that way. We also like our comfortable life, and attachment is not gone there completely. That's why Krishna said this, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam also, that Jnana Margam is for whom there is deep vairagyam inside. Otherwise, Jnanam won't work for them. If you have a lot of attachment to this world, or a lot of prarabdham in this world, and then you want to practice Jnanamargam, it is not going to work. So all those things, right? And then bhakti is different ways he has spoken there, right? Then he said to him, let your bhakti don't be limited to the deity. First thing, right? He told him that. Because deity and other things are only stepping stone to get to this realization first. Realization is more important, right? He reminded him in a very strong words, in few verses, right? And not to carry this faulty conceptions in the head, because you can see the problem why he said that. In the modern world, this has become very strong. Which one? The deity and the form. On that basis, people are fighting. That's not spiritual very much. It is only the beginning part of it, right? So, and then one thing. Second thing, when changes are happening under the influence of time, unable to accept it in life and getting frightened about it, the changes what's happening. And things what we have done in our life, lot of nonsense, which is not right, right? And the fear inside, it's going to come back to me one day. I don't know, you may not have done any nonsense, but I know what I've done, and I know when it will come back, and I have to be ready for that. That is the right thing to do. Like, you see, Parikshit Maharaj, when he did a wrong thing, he said to Krishna, give me the punishment first, before anything, like. This is the right way to live in life. If I have done something wrong, which I have done, lot of wrong things done in business, in working life, and all other things also. Many things we were forced to do for some reason or the other, and there were wrong things, you know very well. And I got to accept that the result will come. And so, give me the result. I will go through that. I'm happy to go because I've done it. So I have to accept it. So you will see there is a news at the moment. One boy got killed in the motorcycle by the American lady from the diplomatic corps. As soon as the accident happened, she ran away from there, went to America. And now this is the news yesterday. It was, you must have heard this. So he was saying that the mother of the boy who died in the motorcycle accident, she's saying that, oh, we are very upset because she ran away straight away. Because they have this diplomatic immunity. That if you commit any accident or anything, suppose you drive car and some diplomatic corps comes and hits you, he can run away from that. And they are trying to get her back here. So you can see how people behave in circumstances like that. If something has gone wrong in life, the right thing to do is to accept that things have gone wrong in my life. What can I do? If I have to be punished, I will accept the punishment happily because I have done some things wrong. So you will see that principle here spoken very nicely. And because no matter what you do here, it will come back one day. So all you can do is to postpone it further. But you will have to face the music one day. Right? So similarly, because as long as I have desires in me, it will cause problems. So all the problems are because of the desires in me. Right? So King Kamala Maharshi said to Devahuti that, my dear mother, what has happened in the past, it's no point. But if you can free yourself from the desires, that's your success in life. And that is how all these yoga processes is for, to help you in that. In that way it is spoken. And it will take us in that direction, right? So, and when you come to that, when you're totally free from desires, and that is when you have reached the perfection stage. When the desires have completely gone, Krishna calls it as Vasana Chayam. In the 18th chapter, Moksha Sannyasa Yogam, if you study in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls it as Vasana Chayam. Vasanas have gone from inside. That means all desires have gone from inside. So, whether it is Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, doesn't matter what Margam it is. Mother heard all these things. But mother was able to, Devahuti Devi, she was able to take on board this Bhakti. So, and he told her, she should instruct this to others as well. Right. Devahuti Devi was so pleased with the way Kabila Maharshi spoke Kabila. So therefore, she offered obeisances to him And then after that, she satisfied and he left. He offered obeisances and he also left. Right? That means he was taking permission from her, permission to leave. Right? And Karnava Prajapatis, and then Devahuti Devi lived the life based on the teachings of, based on Kapila Maharshi, and reached the same destination where Karnava Prajapati reached at the end, which means, when we say like that, what that means is, she has reached the same state of consciousness like Karnava Prajapati and was able to leave the body in that way. Right? So, so with that, this Canto 3 finishes. And there is also some Phalashruti mentioned about that, that whoever hears this Kavilopadesham, right, they also will get rid of all misunderstanding about life. You know, when you hear Kavilopadesham, that there is a lot of misunderstanding in our own mind about life, isn't it? We all carry that about life. That will go, and able to get through this life without misunderstandings, right? And that is only prayers at the end, right? So then the fourth canto begins with Maitreya Maharshi continuing this topic further with to Vidura. And that is how fourth canto begins. So what we'll do now, we'll finish this Bhagavatam here at this point. And now we have about 8 or 10 classes before I go away. So during that time, what I would like to do is that when we discuss this Vedam authority, do you remember? During the Krishna Janmashtami times, what we discussed was about the authority of the Vedam. We didn't get time to talk about Vedangam. That was the idea was, but we didn't get enough time. So that Vedangam we will discuss for next few lessons, classes. And then after that, if we have time, that means we have got 10 classes before I go. So the remaining classes, we will go back to Garga Bhagavatam, which we have also left halfway. Lot of halfway houses, places. I like to complete that if possible. And then we'll come back after Christmas and continue with the 24 Spiritual Masters. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Inadhyatma Prabhupada ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.